Meeting, please come. It's amazing how that got so quiet, right? My mic is on. Will the meeting please come to order? The light's red.
Does my closed session stuff in it?
The closed session. Right. There is some of that.
Verify that we have a quorum. Quorum is present. Please stand for the pledge to the flag to be led by.
With liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
That's the seats?
Yes,
wow.
The seats plot.
Gentlemen?
The first half.
Sergeant at Arms, please educate us on how to get out of here in case we have an emergency.
Thank you, Chair Du Bois. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Chair Du Bois, members of the board and staff. Today we're going to be beginning a situation where we're going to announce public safety information on how to leave this room in case there's an emergency. So please be aware of what I'm here to say. First of all, there's three exits for this room. There are two on the west side that you've come in, and there's one in the rear on the south side of the building, which goes out to the balcony. If you are required to leave this facility in any type of emergency, please stand up, walk quickly and quietly, no pushing or shoving, and use the three exits here to go outside. Our uniformed Metro security officers will then direct you downstairs into the lobby and out into the front of the building and to a directed staging area. If there is an earthquake, please make sure you stay seated in your chair. For those people in the back, if you're standing up, get down on the floor and wait until the shaking stops. At that time, after it stops, we will inform you as to whether it is safe to leave the building or not, depending on the severity of the earthquake. So please wait for direction. Do not run out of the building if there is an earthquake. For members of the board and the staff here in the rear, please, there's one exit, primary exit that you've entered the area here. You will use that exit to leave your area here behind the railing. There's also an alternate exit here to the west side. There's a small door here. This goes out into the lobby, and then you'll follow the directions of Metro Security and out of the building. For those people who have some type of disability and you need assistance to get out of the room in case of emergency, please inform people next to you. And this is time for everybody to be sort of neighborly. Please assist anyone next to you or near you that needs assistance to get out. It will be very beneficial so that there's no pushing, shoving, or other injuries that may occur. Chair Du Bois, if you will have anything else.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Do I get to leave before Nigerian?
No, alphabetically, no.
I will carry the supervisor out to make sure nothing happens to him.
You certainly may.
Okay. Are there any items that the directors wish to have moved from the consent calendar? 14 and 54. Thank you. Do we have any public comment on the consent?
52, please.
52 as well. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll move the consent calendar.
Moved and seconded. Any objections? So ordered. We need to elect first and second vice chair. And so at this point, I will open the nominations for first vice chair. Pam?
I'd like to nominate the mayor of Los Angeles, Director Garcetti, for first vice chair.
Thank you. Are there any other nominations?
Move to close nominations.
Motion to close. Any objections? Congratulations. You are first vice chair.
Thank you very much.
Now, nominations open for second vice chair.
Madam Chair, I would be honored to nominate my colleague, Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, for second vice chair.
Move to close nominations.
Move to second to close nominations. Any objections? Congratulations, Supervisor Ridley Thomas.
Congratulations, Mark. Mark, way to go, Mark.
We have a chair and we have a first and second vice chair. Okay. Before we go to public comment, I want to welcome our new members to the board, Mayor Garcetti, Corian, Bonin, and Jackie. We talked about Jackie. Mr. DuPont. We're honored to have you, and Mayor, would you like to tell us a little bit about your appointees?
Sure. Thank you very much. Switch it down here. Thank you very much, and good morning to the public, as well as to members of MTA staff. I'm very excited to be here today. Thank you for the nomination. That was the toughest election I've ever faced. But I want to thank you, Madam Chair, for your leadership and for the tone that you have brought to the board. I want to first start that I look forward to serving with each of you on the board. I think all of us, whether it's on regional transportation issues or neighborhood ones, see the importance of traffic right now, choking our roads and our economy, stealing billions of hours from our lives, and the work that we do here to try to address that. We have an incredible team that we have assembled of Angelenos, who I've asked to think of themselves, of course, as representatives of the city of LA, but also to be cognizant of our regional responsibilities and interactions between the different members that are here, as well as members of the public who may or may not live inside the city of Los Angeles. Together, I look forward with them to strengthening our mobility, to increasing some of our economic development efforts in the midst of a very slow recovery, and planning for the future here in the city of Los Angeles to have a livable city. We've had great work. I feel like I'm inheriting a great foundation of previous years as I've come in as mayor. Our light rail system, new buses, Measure R, et cetera. One of the things I want to focus on in my time here is technological innovation to save scarce transportation dollars and make buses and rail more user-friendly. But I also want to take this time to introduce my appointees to the board. First, over here on the left, which may or may not be a political reflection, is Mike Bonin, who was recently elected to represent the 11th Council District in the city of Los Angeles. He's also chair of our city's transportation committee, so we have great overlap with city Department of Transportation efforts, as well as what we will do here. And he's also vice chair of the Exposition Construction Authority. The Honorable Councilmember Paul Krikorian over here represents the 2nd District in the San Fernando Valley. He brings a wealth of experience in local government, not just in the city of L.A., but also state government as a former assembly member. He's also our budget chair in the city council, so has incredible experience as a dollars and cents guy, and brings that experience that he has from being an assembly member in Sacramento, as well as his local leadership and a great strong voice for the San Fernando Valley. And last but certainly not least is Jackie DuPont Walker, somebody who has a great wealth of community work, whether it's working with the faith community, whether it's affordable housing community, brings a perspective of being able to look at the work that we do around our bus and rail lines and transit-oriented development, a firm understanding of the neighborhoods of South Los Angeles, and served as a commissioner in numerous different roles for the city of Los Angeles. So those are the three appointees. The team of four of us stand here ready to work with all of our fellow cities and with the Board of Supervisors. We're very excited to be serving the public, and thank you so much for the honor.
Thank you very much. And I must apologize, DuPont Walker. I called you DuPont. I'm sorry.
Problem.
She started that way. Then she added Walker later.
So. We have several folks who have requested to speak. So we will start with Mayor Jean Daniels, Mayor Pro Tem Sergio, I'm sorry, from the city of Paramount, Gateway Cities.
Favorite person.
Mayor Pro Tem Sergio Infanzone, Gateway Cities, Bell Gardens, Councilmember Louise Marquise from Echo Rapid Downey, Councilmember Marie Davila from Echo Rapid Southgate, Councilmember Bill DeWitt, Southgate, Echo Rapid, Vice Mayor Rosa Perez, Echo Rapid Huntington Park, Councilmember Marcia McLean, Echo Rapid Transit, Santa Clarita, Mayor Pedro Asiatuno, Echo Rapid Bell Gardens, Councilmember Frank Quintero, Echo Rapid Glendale, and I believe they were all coming up together, and there they are.
What a fine group. Good morning, members of the board. My name is Gene Daniels. I'm the mayor of the city of Paramount, president of Gateway Cities Council of Governments, and alternate board member of the Echo Rapid JPA Board of Directors. My colleagues and I are here today to congratulate our friend Diane Du Bois on her election as chair of the Metro Board. We are very excited and honored to be here today. I want to recognize the work of Diane Du Bois. Diane is a true leader who has served Lakewood, Gateway Cities, and Metro. As president of the Gateway Cities COG, which represents 28 cities and has a total of 31 members, I am well aware of the importance of building consensus and having communities work together. Representing over 2 million residents, we look forward to continuing our efforts to work with you to strengthen the regional economy and improve the transportation system. Again, all of us are here to honor and recognize Diane. We know that she has done a great job as our representative and a member of the Metro Board. We know that she will help all of you, as she does with us, to create a unified voice that makes a difference. Thank you, members of the board, and congratulating Diane on her election. My colleagues would also address the board. As a personal message, I would like to say that Diane is a personal friend. Her integrity is never a question. We all look forward to her for direction because we know that what she does in the political field is not self-serving. It's there for the benefit of the people who elected her to the position and as the member of the board. Diane, anything I can do to help you, don't hesitate to call. You're a true leader.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Sergio Infanzon. I am a council member for the City of Bell Gardens, an alternate board member of the Echo Rapid JPA Board of Directors, and recently I serve as the president of the Gateway Council of Governments, and previously I serve as on the Metro Gateway Cities Service Council. I also work for the City of Los Angeles recently, 3 weeks here, and I feel so happy. And I'm here today to congratulate our dear friend Diane Du Bois on her election as chair of the Metro Board. Diane's election is a great event for Los Angeles County and the communities and gateway cities. Why is that? Because many people, many hundreds of thousands of people relied upon the Metro system as their primary transportation option. Diane Du Bois is a strong leader who has worked hard to improve transportation not only for Lakewood and gateway cities, but for all of the Southern California. And let me tell you this. One of the many definitions of great leadership is the capacity that we have as individuals to influence people in a positive way. And I look around this room and I see great leadership. It is truly an honor for me to be here. And I think about the decisions that you make every single day to impact and to improve the life, the quality of life of the people that we represent, the people that you represent. And it is truly an honor, Diane and everybody else, to be here and to tell you that you're going to be, without any doubt, a positive influence in the decision-making process that is going to continue improving the transportation system in this place. So on behalf of the City of Bell Gardens and all of the gateway cities, thank you very much for your attention. Congratulations, Diane, and we look forward to working with all of you. Thank you very much.
And let me just say one thing. It's my understanding that you were all going to be up there and one person was going to speak. If more of you are going to speak, we have to go by the one-minute timeline because there are lots of folks that need to speak on other issues. So.
Hello.
Keep it short.
Members of the board, my name is Luis Marquez, council member from the City of Downey, and I'm just here along with my colleagues to celebrate this extraordinary appointment or your election as chair of the Metro Board, Diane. It's always great working with you and the City of Lakewood and all of our gateway cities. So I want to take a moment to congratulate Mayor Garcetti on his election and also joining the board. I come here and I serve as chair, the new chair, a person for the Eagle Rapid JPA Board of Directors. The ANSA is a historic event for both LA County and the Southern California region, signifying the important role the gateway cities play in developing a comprehensive multi-model transportation system, a system designed to stimulate new economic development and job opportunities for our residents, including the 2.4 million people that live in the southeast part of Los Angeles County, many of who are transit dependent. And myself, along with my colleagues and the Eco Rapid and the Gateway City Council, is looking forward to working with you, Diane, and with the rest of the board.
Thank you, Luis. And thanks to all of you for your good wishes.
I'll be quick.
Okay.
I'll take half of my time. I'm just here to congratulate you and Mayor Garcetti for your election. Working with all of you, it's going to be wonderful to do because, as many of you know, the southeast cities, we are very impacted, very dense, and we need transportation. So we are here to give you our support, and we'll definitely keep on working with you. I'm the vice chairperson of the Eco Rapid board, and we will continue working. Congratulations, and we know that you will do a great job, and you will look in the best interest of our communities. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate the support of all of you. It's because of your support that I can do what I do. So thank you very, very much.
Good morning. I'm Marcia McLean, council member for the city of Santa Clarita, and I represent our city at SCAG on the Regional Council Transportation Policy Committee, the Northern Corridors Cities, the North County Coalition, the San Fernando Valley COG. We have 203,000 people. We are the third largest in LA County. Half of those people commute out of our city. We need more trains. I came down here this morning on the train. I have to leave this meeting early or wait for 2.5 hours to catch a train back. We just had the Antelope Valley Station groundbreaking, but if you don't have some Metrolink trains to get people to the airport, people won't ride it. You provide the trains, people will ride it. Our I-5 freeway is at or close to gridlock. We need to get people off of our freeways and into trains. And so I look forward very much to working with you on that goal. Congratulations. We think you're going to do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Roselena Perez. I am the vice mayor of the city of Huntington Park, and it's a great pleasure and honor for me to be here today. This is the first time I visit this wonderful building, and my late husband served in the board of the MTA. His name was Raul R. Perez. I'm sure some of you remembered him. Thank you. I'm here to congratulate Diane and to echo the same words that my colleagues have echoed. Of course, we are here to support you, and we also need your support. As Maria Davila stated, we are very dense. We need better transportation, and we're here to work with you. I am the current secretary to the Eco Rapid Transit, and I'm looking forward to working with every single one of you. Congratulations, and we're here to assist.
Thank you. Bill's going to keep it very short.
Real quick, Bill DeWitt, Councilwoman, City of Southgate. Look forward to working with you all. Congratulations, and I can remember back when Jay Price, a few of you may remember when it was the RTD, Rapid Transit District, and he represented our area very well, and we look forward to good things out of you and the rest of the board. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. I will tell you all that I was going to tell you a little bit about gateway cities, but I'm going to spare you that in interest of time, so I will tell you at some other time. Council, I'm sorry.
Yes, Madam Chair, I just wanted to point out that with your election today, representing the cities of Los Angeles County, the 87 cities other than the city of Los Angeles, that this is the first time since the Metro Board was formed in 1993 that the southeast cities, the gateway cities, have had representation as the chair of this board. So it's a great day. With today, all four subregions have been able to serve in the chair position, so we look forward to a great year on behalf of the southeast cities, but cities as a whole, and the metro LA County as a whole. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I have some other folks that have asked to speak on item number 3. If you will allow me, I will make some of the chair's remarks, which are going to be very, very short, and then do the public comment. First, I have a request to the CEO and County Council. I would ask that you review the public input rules and recommend any changes that would facilitate public input and the board process, and return with suggestions in September. I think we can make it better. I have a personal request, and I have a couple of personal requests. I would ask that we adjourn the meeting today in memory of two folks that I know, one that I knew very, very well. First would be my grandson's best friend, Kevin Wojak, who was a firefighter who perished in the Arizona fire. He was one of the Granite Mountain guys. His dad is a firefighter in Los Angeles County. He's a captain in Bellflower. And I know that Supervisor Kanabe has some words that he would like to give about Kevin.
No, I would just, Madam Chair, second that. I've known Kevin since he's probably about 3 years old, and his father is one of our outstanding firefighter paramedics in Los Angeles County, and Joe Wojak and his entire family. And I guess if there's a blessing on one side is that Kevin passed away doing what he's always wanted to do, and that was to be a firefighter. And he didn't want to just move up the ranks of Los Angeles County based on his father's activities and name. And so he went off to build his own resume. And by doing that, he became one of those special firefighters across the country. There's only 105 of those units in America called into the worst situations. So I join with you. You know, all of us that have kids can't imagine giving up a child at that age. But he was a very special young man. And all the firefighters went to several of the ceremonies, died heroes, and we just want to adjourn not only in Kevin's name but all of the firefighters' name.
And we had another unfortunate death in my area, someone who had worked for Los Angeles County, or I'm sorry, the city of Los Angeles at one time, Lillian Kawasaki, who was a director for the Water Replenishment District. She had been a public servant for many, many years and succumbed to cancer a couple of weeks ago. She had fought it and beat it, and it came back and got her. So very, very untimely death.
She was a very special lady.
Thank you. Yes. Are there others that wish to make comments?
No, we've all worked with her over the years. I know she was a candidate for city council in Long Beach. I supported her for that, and things were looking up. And when the big C came back, it came back with vengeance. And our thoughts and prayers are with the entire family. Very, very special lady in more ways than just her public service or community activities as well.
Absolutely.
Lillian, it should also be noted, was the first general manager of the City of L.A.'s Department of Environmental Affairs, was the first Asian American to hold a permanent post as general manager in the City of Los Angeles. Knew her for a very long time. She was a brilliant, wise, determined, and incredibly kind person, and all of us in the City of Los Angeles miss her.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I would just add, I was on the City Council when Lillian was appointed Department of Environmental Affairs general manager. And we developed a friendship and a professional relationship that lasted until she passed away. And I was privileged to, Don and I were privileged to work with her on most recently at LAFCO, where she served as an alternate. She was everything that Mike said she was, and it's very, very premature for her to have left us.
I think everything's been said, but Lillian was a great friend and mentor to me when I first came in office. The committee that I chaired was the one that she, for her department, Community Development Department, and we worked very closely at the Department of Water and Power as well. She was a real visionary, too. One of the things she did was a lot of things we take for granted right now of bringing the environment together with economic development. She was really the pioneer of doing, at least for the City of Los Angeles, and was stunned by her passing.
Thank you. Okay. Moving along, I have some comments from the public. Daniel Keller, to be followed by Arnold Sachs, to be followed by Ron Collins.
Yes, my name is Daniel Keller, and I'm here to talk about the instructions that, about loading your tap card that you can still get. Take a blue tap card, pretend you're a senior, or get a reduced fare pass instead of getting one of these, and you can keep reloading it for one ride, and no matter what you decide to raise the fares to, since you want to raise the fares, all those people will figure out a way once the gates are locked to go that way. It'll tap. No one's going to know. I talked about this before under the last time. You got to fix it. They should only be able to reload, reduce past things that you are going to have other people do. I hope you correct the problem soon.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Arnold Sachs, to be followed by Ron Collins.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair. And thank you for addressing for your county council and the CEO to look into public input rules. So let me ask you this question. Maybe you might have forgotten. Do you recall when the article in the LA Times came out about the delay on the 405 freeway, the construction delays? It was a couple of months ago. And you requested for the Caltrans person to give an update on that newspaper article. And then Caltrans person started talking about the Carmageddon from last year, not this year, Carmageddon, whatever the hell it was. And you all sat, you wouldn't have a full quorum, but you all sat there while he gave a report about something that happened last year. Like bumps on a log or bags of rocks. You all sat and didn't mention, oh, by the way, that's not the report that we wanted. We wanted the report on the story that was in today's newspaper. So what about public comment on that? Look into that kind of rules.
Rod Collins, to be followed by Channing Martinez.
Good morning, Board. I'd first like to welcome Mayor Garcetti and the other new members of the Board. I'm here to talk to you today about the million hours of bus service that's been cut here in Los Angeles County over the past 7 years. It really represents an unprecedented attack on the mobility of working class communities of color, and it's a violation of our civil rights. The FTA actually investigated these cuts and found that it was a violation of our civil rights, and our organization is hoping that this board will actually do the right thing and begin to restore these million hours of bus service. But we're not going to stop there. We have been pressuring, and we're going to continue to pressure the Obama administration to intervene in this civil rights issue, because it really does affect hundreds of thousands of bus riders every day, and it is really stifling the mobility of people of color in this city. So we're asking you to restore the million hours of bus service. Thank you.
Channing Martinez, to be followed by Barbara Lott Holland.
Good morning, members of the board. We'd like to welcome you to the new chair of the board and the mayor and all three new appointed members of the board for their first MTA meeting. I'd especially like to welcome the new board member, new chair of the city's council's transportation committee, Mike Bonin. As you know, we worked very closely with your boss, Bill Rosenthal, for years on the Wilshire busing lane. We'd like to express clearly to you, Mayor Garcetti, and the full board are concerned with the poor implementation of the first segment of the busing lanes. That is, signs too so high and so small that even on foot, no one even notices its existence. When we envisioned our bus-only lane and thus fought and won it, we thought it would be obvious that there should be better signage painted on the streets that could be found on Wilshire, better than that can be found on Wilshire right now, and significantly more enforcement of cars not using it during peak hours. The bus-only lane can be a real solution to air pollution and current auto domination situation we suffer from here in LA.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'd like to say again, good morning. Good morning to the new board chair, Diane Du Bois, and welcome to all the new board members. And again, thank you and welcome back the old board members as well. As this board takes on a fresh new leadership today, it is a fresh opportunity for this board to support the civil rights of all bus riders to have a first-class bus system to ensure climate and environmental justice. Our vision to fight for the soul of the city calls for no cars in L.A. Yes, no cars in L.A. We are demanding to restore the million hours of bus service that was stolen from us. We are also requesting 5,000 new zero-emission buses, starting with the purchase of approximately 1,000, to move forward toward free public transportation, starting with a free student bus pass. We're also asking MTA to stop your role in the gentrification of our neighborhoods. Thank you.
David Murphy, to be followed by John Walsh.
Are you doing well?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. I just wanted to offer our congratulations from Angelinos Against Gridlock to you, Madam Chair, and to Mr. Mayor and our new board members. I am so excited about the perspectives we have on this board for the opportunities for a fully built-out transit system, bike safety, pedestrian improvements in this great county of ours. And I think we all know that we have enormous challenges that we're so infamous for around the world. But as a public servant, all of you, when you think of the legacy you can have, this board and the work you do has the power to impact millions, literally millions of Angelinos every day. And the question is, will we get caught up in the small issues of the day, or will we also address those, but also look to the long term to tackling our problems at a large enough scale that we don't just kick down the line to next generations our problems. So let us not reinvent the wheel. Let's look to cities around the world that have fully built out transit systems, safe bike and pedestrian opportunities, and let's make L.A. the city that it deserves to be. Thank you, and best wishes.
Thank you. Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Go see Mr. Weiner here. First of all, you already violated the Brown Act. You're supposed to get the comments and then vote. You voted. Now you're going to hear my comments about what you did. I'd like to say that we very much miss Raul Perez. We're honored to have his widow in the audience. He was a gentleman, and anyone who knows him knows that what I'm saying is the truth. And I don't spread idle compliments around the city. You're not paying attention. Okay, we don't need any crackdown by Garcetti in public comment, which is what you're setting up here. We don't need to change public comment in any way. And I wasn't paying much attention to city politics. Did Wendy Gruel lose? Oh, congratulations, Garcetti. Thank you.
HollywoodHighlands.org. Thank you, Mr. Walsh. That concludes the public comment on this item. Let us go to the pulled items. Oh, I'm sorry. CEO's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple quick items. We've received the platinum recognition from the American Public Transportation Associations regarding our sustainability program. This month we have 35 high school interns here. The second year in a row we've done this. They'll be here for a few weeks. They come from such great high schools as Duke Ellington, Whitney Young, Dots, Wilshire Metro, Worksource Center, and above all others, Franklin High School. Go Panthers. Last week, the federal government, USDOT, formally invited Metro to apply for $1 billion in federal loans for the subway and for the regional connector. This is in addition to the Crenshaw loan that we've already been approved for. So that's good. That could result in great savings for our projects. We're going to have a master plan workshop on the Union Station master plan at the Cathedral in the evening, August 1st, from 5:30 to 7:30. We're starting some I-5 closures starting August 3rd. And I want to just comment quickly. I was in Washington, D.C. the last few days, met with Peter Rogoff of Federal Highway, several members of the Congress. I testified at a Senate committee hearing as requested by Senator Boxer on the TIFIA program. Mr. Rogoff and I had a great deal of detailed discussion on the PEPRA 13C problem. He is concerned that the FTA has done a great deal of work advancing our connector for a full funding grant agreement, we hope, this fall. And the subway, we're aiming for a February full funding grant agreement. He is concerned that a failure to resolve the 13C issue could result in a delay of those full funding grants being made. I should note now that we've begun to suffer a delay in the receipt of federal funds. The monies are not lost. If we should be able to resolve the issue quickly enough to keep them in the pipeline, the subway, the connector, preventive maintenance funds are all at risk until we get this issue resolved. For the new members, let me just note we're in a issue here between the Department of Labor, Federal Department of Labor, and the state of California. We're going to have a closed session discussion on these matters, some of the legal issues having to do with our labor contracts. And, Madam Chair, with that, I will conclude. Thank you.
Thank you. Request to speak on this item, Daniel Keller, Arnold Sachs, and John Walsh. Thank you, Mr. Keller.
My name's Daniel Keller. I did a little bit of auditing of the Sheriff's Department and Metro employees on the Red Line yesterday. At the in North Hollywood, they were letting people on, letting them know that come July 29th, they're going to be locked, but they let all those people on today. At 7th and Metro, there were seven sheriff's employees just sitting around. It's not locked at 7th and Metro yet, and I saw one person go, and the red light is on, and then they hustled up there because somebody did it. At Hollywood and Highland, it was done perfectly by Metro employees, but at Hollywood and the other stop, the gates were locked, but there were nobody there, so people would follow somebody who went through the handicap area. But basically, things are getting better.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Mr. Sachs and John Walsh.
Yes, thank you again, Arnold Sachs. And I'm certainly glad, again, to hear the CEO mention the TIFIA loans. You, as the board, created the Crenshaw Corporation, a nonprofit for the TIFIA loan for the Crenshaw line, not as oversight for construction, but just to get the money. So you, as a board, will take the proper steps for the downtown connector and the subway to the sea and create more nonprofits, corporations, for those TIFIA loans. And keep in mind, the TIFIA loan wasn't included in the 3% local return that the City of Englewood and the City of Los Angeles are happy to pay for their Measure R tax dollars. So if that wasn't included, it shouldn't be included in the downtown connector and the subway to the sea, but be as part of the cost that the people will pay for. And you started public comment, Madam Chair, for select few. Are you going to continue the public comment for the rest of the people who signed up for it?
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
Yes, I know. More rules and regulations.
Right.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org, or go to Jay Walsh Confidential. Hey, I've been around a long time. Used to get grants from the federal government. That was a gift of money. No more grants. You borrow it. You borrow a billion here, you borrow a billion there, and then you cut service. There are fewer people taking public transit now than there was bus only in 1986. And if the percentage of people taking public transit is falling, not rising. And I want to tell you that as far as this is concerned, you said to the federal government, 300,000 boardings in the EIR on the red line by the year 2000. This is the year 2013, and you are at 150,000 boardings, half of what you promised 13 years ago. Why do you think they're so skeptical there? HollywoodHighlands.org.
Eric Roman.
And if I'm wrong, give me the
statistics. Good morning, board members. Eric Roman from the Bus Riders Union. Continuing where my colleague Channing Martinez left off talking about the Wilshire-Balsillie Lane project. A couple things. This project can be a model for the city, and we fought for it for 6 years because we believed it would be a model for the city that could be replicated on major streets and on freeways throughout the city and the county. Right now, this agency is looking into other corridors where bus rapid transit can be built and should be built. The problem is that if this project is allowed to fail, then those other projects will never get off the ground, right? Not only that, this agency, we the Bus Riders Union, worked with this agency and with the City Council and with LADOT to get federal funds for this project. And those federal funds are right now being poorly used. FTA is thinking, well, we gave you these federal funds several years ago for an 8-mile bus only lane. So far, you've only built 2 miles. We don't know when the other 6 miles will be built. The current 2 miles being very poorly implemented. We urge you to take action to correct these problems. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 14. I'm going to ask who pulled the item. Is there something in particular that someone wants to address?
Yes.
Sir?
Larry Tutu, Long Beach resident, New York Minute. I have no problem with the concept in chief of the beautification, nor the concept of the modification. The big problem is the 5%, the 15% threshold of allowances for going over the bid. I would cut that down to 5%. The go-go days of the past, or the go-go days of years past, are not here. We don't have the money. If they can't come up, if they can't contain themselves within a 5% projection rate, then you need somebody else.
All right, Mr. Goodhue, am I to understand that you pulled the item?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. So your concern is?
Concern is not with the project nor with the concept of modifications. It's the 15% threshold that should be cut back to 5%. If you don't have somebody competent enough to undertake the project within a 5% leeway, you need to put the foot on the neck of the issue and get somebody else. Thank you.
Madam Chair, would you like a report? Or?
I think so.
Okay, briefly.
Yes, please. This is a item to award a landscape demonstration pilot program at the board's discretion to improve the look of freeways. It's a pilot program. We picked a couple of areas throughout the greater Los Angeles area. Tourism is important here. We all know the state is not able to maintain the freeways as they used to in the past. That's the project. If you'd like me to address specifically the 15% issue that was raised by the gentleman, it's just been the past practice of Metro to have a 15% contingency on these. This is purely the board's discretion, 5, 7, 10%, whatever you direct is what we will work within.
Yeah, we will do as board directed. For the new members, let me just say the initiative here from Metro for several years has been to say that we cannot have the entryways into the place, into the county or the city, the freeways and the railroads, when you enter them and all you see is dirt and trash and graffiti, that's not a good business practice if we want to seek to build in tourism and investment and things of that nature. So we're working very closely with Caltrans to get these freeways cleaned up as well as the railroad approaches into the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes,
Madam Chair, I would move the item with the recommendation that we reduce the 15% to 10% contingency.
For a second? Moved and seconded. Public comment? Mr. Sachs, I'm sorry. You knew I was going to call you.
Yes, thank you. Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. And I certainly appreciate your comments there, Mr. CEO. But that goes along the idea of, like, when you leave, like, Union Station and you happen to head up towards City Council, the City Hall and the Hall of Administration, and you see the card-only lanes that line Spring Street over the 101 freeway. That's a real entrance to this downtown Civic Center and the Civic Park. Maybe Metro could address that, or maybe county government, or maybe city council government could address that situation, because that's outside the realm of Metro. And again, I appreciate the gentleman coming up and suggesting the 15%, because you do other contracts, and normally even the county, as whacked out as those people can be, they leave a 10% contingency fee.
Thank you. Any other comments from the board? Are there any objections to the item as it was moved? Motion was made. No objections. The item passes.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next item on the agenda that was pulled, number 52. And Director Krikorian, you pulled it. Would you like a report first, or would you like to?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's really not necessary. I'm well familiar with the issue. I've introduced a motion asking the City of Los Angeles to take an opposite position on AB 612, so I'd merely like to be recorded as a no vote on this.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Thank you very much. The item is before you.
I'll move the staff recommendation.
Moved and seconded that we adopt staff recommendation. Any objections? That'll be the order. Sorry. We had public comment. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm new here. But I don't think that would make you think any better. So, Dr. Tony Williams and Arlo Sachs, please come forward. And I apologize. Well, it's not Tony. It's Dr. Tom. I'm sorry. I hadn't seen you for a while.
Thank you.
You got a new hat.
Yes.
Yeah. New one. Bigger one. I used to play cricket. Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council Subcommittee for Transportation. Okay. One of the claims is that LA City has all synchronized lights. Maybe for AB 612, have it, you support it if amended, rather than oppose. What I would suggest is that you consider allowing the 1 second yellow on any light system that is not synchronized, because we eventually have to get them synchronized, because when we leave LA City, a lot of the streets are congested because of lack of synchronization. So allow 1 second for those light systems that are unsynchronized, and let them suffer.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. Mr. Sachs?
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. And I can assure you, Mr. Dr. Williams, that the county in its wonderful ways is working diligently throughout unincorporated areas to have lights synchronized. Almost every meeting, they have some item on their agenda that you can speak about, but not for very long. But my concerns are regarding SB 556 and the ability of that you want to oppose having outside agencies have look-like logos that can be represented to be a government agency. You know, that'd be like the Los Angeles to Pasadena Metro Blue Line Construction Authority, and I'd really give a rat's patoot about it, except that it's a property owner that got property that was paid for with public dollars, and it is yet to be addressed. It was a agency that was created by state legislation as the Blue Line Construction Authority.
Thank you.
And
thank
morphed
you, Mr. Sachs.
Into the Pasadena Blue Line
you,
Construction
time
Authority.
Is up. Thank you, Mr.
Yes,
Sachs.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, now I will backtrack. You're through talking. I will backtrack. We have a motion and a second. No objections. The item passes. Item number 11.
Corian Casanova.
Yes, please let it. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Director Krikorian.
Right.
They got it. Yeah. Okay. Item 11.
Item 11.
Terry, wait.
There have been some requests to pull this item and hold it till September, and if that is not difficult for you, then we will do that.
We'd request authority to extend the incumbent's contract until the end of September then.
Are there any?
Moved.
Second? Moved and seconded to extend the incumbent's contract and have the report then in September. Any objections? That'll be the order.
We have a Chair, I think we have a motion that we introduce as well, just to amend this item. And just to, I won't read the whole thing here, but essentially it's I'm introducing a motion with Director DuPont-Walker to improve and refocus MTA's approach to customer service, looking at technology issues.
Can we get a copy of the motion?
54 already. Okay. That's on, it's for 54. We're on 11.
We'll come back so in September on item 11.
We're on 52. I'm sorry, no.
Item number 11 has been continued, 11. I guess, till September. Is that correct?
Later to September, yes.
Why?
18.1 is the next one on the agenda.
I missed, guys, bear with me. 54 was also part of the, was also pulled from consent, right? Let's do that. Guys, 11 will, the items will be held. Okay. John's going to have to kick me more often. And 11 are going to hold until September.
Yeah, so you don't have to take public comments.
It's 154, which we're in here now. Uh-huh. 54 was pulled by. Okay. On here, it's item. Okay. The mayor and director, DuPont Walker, have a motion. All right. Want to go ahead with the report?
Do you want me to give a full report, or do you want me to?
Let's do it briefly.
Okay. We're recommending that the board amend the FY14 budget to add 38 full-time employees and $1 million to transition the reduced fare application processing and the TAP call center to in-house at Metro as a result of legally binding arbitration.
Okay, that's fine.
We also believe we're going to get a higher quality product than we've been getting. So this is, we're enthusiastic about this.
Okay. Now, are there comments from the board?
Just sure. Briefly, thank you, Madam Chair, on the motion that we have circulated here.
He's referring to it now.
I want to ask for a report back in December 2013. I won't go through everything in the motion, but to look at ways that we can address some technology issues and specifically customer service, wireless technology, mobile applications, fares and revenues, and open data, which can be used by members of the public and other entities, enterprises. We've seen great examples of technology using smart mobile phone ticketing payments, real-time open data information for patrons, and that's been, I think, very good, those steps forward. But the TAP system can also be a tool to maximize and provide a greater return on fare policy and public investment once completed. So this motion from myself and Director DuPont-Walker will instruct staff to report back for the December 2013 meeting on those areas, as well as staff's proposal for a technology-based investment strategy, so we can begin to develop that. And we'll assist in bringing other stakeholders in, folks that are here, folks from the tech community that have approached me already and while I was campaigning, who are really eager. Los Angeles is an incredibly vibrant tech startup environment right now. We've got, I think the ranking is Silicon Valley, Tel Aviv, and then LA is number 3 in the world for new tech startups, and connecting a lot of that around mobility, I think, will be a great advantage. So put that forward and look forward to working with staff on that. Thank you.
Okay. Motion seconded by Jackie DuPont-Walker.
Madam Chair, if I could make comments.
Please.
Thank you. My tutorial starting. I'd like to join with Mayor Garcetti also in asking that we pay particular attention to senior citizens and disabled transit riders, who we want to be inclusive in the newly adopted technology of MTA. I applaud the MTA staff during the construction of the Expo Line,
who were willing to come out and meet with seniors in the West Adams area on a quarterly basis. It made a tremendous impact in them feeling included in the improvements that were being made, and we want them to continue that. We're also understanding nationally that the smartphones are helping to close the digital divide, and therefore we would want MTA to take a very careful look at the wireless phone usage and its availability on all of the MTA buses and railroad underground facilities.
Thank you very much. Are there others who wish to speak on this matter? Okay. All right. I think we had it not turned on, so it's on now. It's working now. Yes, sir.
Could they have a friendly amendment to include Union Station for wireless? Been advised they do not have that.
Okay. Friendly amendment?
Yes.
Any objections? Okay. So the motion before you is about transit customer-oriented technology enhancements and innovations. Are there any objections? We have two folks who wish to speak, Rosalia Munoz and Arnold Sachs. And Mr. Sachs, if you could start forward, that would be great.
Sí, quería testigar que deben de incluir en usar.
We need an interpreter.
Okay.
So, Mr. Sachs, can I ask that Mr. Sachs speak first while we get an interpreter out here?
Okay.
Still need an interpreter for Mr. Sachs.
No. Supervisor Kanabe, don't give up your day job.
You can give up your T-shirt.
Thank you.
It says Go Metro. Remember that.
Your time is rapidly.
I know it's running. We're having a conversation, Madam Chair.
Good.
And I appreciate the fact that you want to look into the technology aspect for tap and tip and all this other BS. But what's the average income of your rider on the Metro system? You know, Metrolink is different from the Metro system in and of itself. Your average income for the people, the low-income people, I know they all have iPads and iPhones. Metro is going to give them out so people can keep up with all the introductory new technology that you're proposing. You can't put signage on the green lines to notify people about outages on the or delays on the rails or when trains are coming. How are you going to handle that?
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Thank you. Rosalio Munoz.
Estoy hablando en español porque es un gran necesidad. Yo hablo el inglés, muchos de ustedes saben eso. Pero hay que.
In Spanish because this is a great necessity, and sometimes sí. I speak in English, but now I'm going to address you.
Sí, la necesidad y la oportunidad con la nueva tecnología de mejorar su servicio, su comunicación con los de habla hispana y otras lenguas aquí en esta ciudad, porque hay una gran falta con esta burocracia que tienen.
Give him a chance to translate.
Okay. There's a great need to use this technology that you are proposing, not only for the Hispanic community, but also for the other communities. And it is a great need.
Sí, yo estoy representando a la parroquia de Nuestra Señora Reina de Los Ángeles, que muchos conocen por el nombre La Placita.
I am representing here the parish of Our Lady of Los Angeles. Many of you know it as La Placita.
Y donde la gran mayoría de la congregación habla hispana y que también usan la transportación pública que tenemos y estamos tratando de participar más en sus deliberaciones, especialmente tocante al plan maestro de la estación Union, del Union Station, pero
We are a large community that mainly is Spanish-speaking, and we do use public transportation, and we are trying to participate more on these deliberations that you are conducting.
Yeah, específicamente, como dije, el plan maestro del Union Station.
And specifically on the master plan for Union Station.
Porque nos afecta mucho en nuestra parroquia aquí como media milla de aquí.
It affects us a lot on our parish.
Pero
a half a mile away.
En online.
Your time is up.
Bueno, online hay poco información en español. Hay mucho, mucho más en inglés.
Thank you.
In Spanish. There's a lot in English, but we need more in Spanish.
Thank you. We will now go to item 19.1.
Linda Bivey, Regional Communications. This is a motion made by the board to form a task force and report back in 60 days on what opportunities would be available to us to support small business enterprises during the course of construction on the Crenshaw Line. And that would include the opportunity to investigate financial support to small businesses during the course of construction.
Mr. Ridley Thomas, did you have a comment?
It seems to me, Madam Chair, that we should exhaust every opportunity that we can to maximize the positive impacts of rail on these major corridors. This is an effort to do that. If, in fact, we take the position that small businesses happen to be the lifeline economically of communities throughout our region and beyond, then we should do all that we can to strengthen them and do all that we can not to harm them. The thrust of the motion is essentially consistent with those principles, and I trust that we will enjoy a unanimous vote.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Madam Chair. Yes, sir. Just from the committee discussions, let me share it with the full board. We will, of course, take this and do it. We will add to it an assessment of potential partnerships with, for example, the Small Business Administration or other organizations, perhaps foundations, that we can develop an outreach program for and look at ways of achieving the results which the board has asked us what to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Director DuPont Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems that this is a very worthwhile endeavor. I believe as we looked from the public position at the impact of the work done by MTA in East LA, many of the small businesses suffered greatly. And what we're hearing in the Crenshaw area is that the work should take into consideration in these extraordinary times when small businesses are trying to survive what might happen in the process of doing the good. I think that it calls for extraordinary steps to try to support the businesses in the area.
Thank you. Any other comments? You have an item before you. Public comment will start immediately. Did you have something you wanted to say first? All right. Malcolm Klugman to be followed by Chris Sutton.
I'm a bit concerned because I think that the city should have much more responsibility to helping those small businesses that will be affected by the Crenshaw Line. And I spoke last week. One thing that needs to be done is the station, the Leimert Park Village Station. You may need to help to add businesses to there instead of the empty storefronts, for instance, across the street from the McDonald's there on Crenshaw Boulevard. So there's a thing to help businesses that are already there. Last week, the guy said he wanted to have somebody hire somebody who could help businesses find out if they're losing money or not. If you have to have somebody help you find out you're losing money, you're an idiot and you shouldn't be in business, okay? So the city should help, but we should also help to construct.
Thank you, Mr. Klugman. Mr. Sutton, to be followed by Robert Amato.
My name is Christopher Sutton. I'm an attorney for the Westin Bonaventure Hotel. We support Member Ridley Thomas's motion because it was the first time you recognize that MTA projects have severe economic impacts on businesses surrounding. The Bonaventure Hotel believes it should be a countywide study. The removal of Flower Street between 4th and 6th Street will severely impact all the businesses on that street. This study should be extended to include Flower Street and all projects you have in the county. Alternatively, you could instruct your staff to have further tunneling on Flower Street and further tunneling on the Crenshaw Line that would avoid some of these impacts. It's shown that this is not more expensive. In addition, we're requesting you instruct your staff on Flower Street that there really be no future station at 4th and Flower, which will allow alternatives to be considered. It's on your agenda today for closed session. We're trying to settle these lawsuits. We urge you to tunnel to 6th Street to settle these lawsuits. Thank you.
Thank you. Robert Amato, I hope I've pronounced your name correctly. If not, I'm sure you'll tell me.
No, that's fine, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. Good morning to the members of the board, the new members. Welcome. I'm going to be very brief here, and that is we do support Director Ridley Thomas's motion to come up with mitigation into the lost business. Is very important to us. On the other hand, as attorney just had mentioned, there is a bigger catastrophe that can occur. As in item 14, which was stated, tourism is important. I'm going to take that back. Tourism is important. If some of the techniques that are currently proposed to be used is implemented and go through with it, the next 5 years are going to be very catastrophic. So what happens to not only the Bonaventure Hotel, but the loss that will come to the rest of the hotels involved with the industry? What about the community of restaurants, retail, and attractions? What happens to them? So now we're looking down the line, and we have work shifts. What happens to the employees?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mike, okay, from the Western Bonaventure. Is it Zarsinski?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Be followed by Arnold Sachs.
Good day. Michael Charchinski, Western Bonaventure, and thank you again, CEO Leahy, for recognizing that hospitality is very important. We do support 19.1, and we do believe that the small businesses and other businesses around not only in the Crenshaw District but throughout all the metro projects should be included in this. We have 45 small businesses within the Bonaventure and probably another 1,000 with inside the project limits downtown, and they will be impacted. 2 days ago, Metro staff clearly stated that this project will be like ground zero. And I quote, Ann Kerman said, it will be like ground zero. People do not want to have meetings. They do not want to come and have fun at ground zero. It is going to be a mess. We need to save the hotel business. Please tunnel for 2 more blocks. It will have a $4 billion impact on the hospitality and tourism industry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sachs?
Yes, thank you again, Arnold Sachs. 14 members of the board here. I believe 6, maybe 7 of you have been in politics since the 90s. So here's a question, just out of curiosity. When Hollywood Boulevard collapsed during red line construction, or was it purple line, we don't know, what business mitigation programs would you have gotten out of that disaster? You think that was a disaster for small businesses when Hollywood Boulevard collapsed? And yet you have to go to outside cities to look at their programs to see about mitigation for small businesses? It's not just insane, it's idiotic. What were you doing in the time frame that Hollywood Boulevard collapsed? And unfortunately, no disrespect meant to the gentleman from the Bonaventure, but when you quote Metro, Measure R will bring $40 billion. Right now, they're averaging $700 million a year under budget.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. You have before you, you have a motion and a second on 19.1. Are there any objections? As amended, thank you. No objections? Item passes. Thank you for posing it. Number 31.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, Mr. Leahy. I'm Mike Stanging, head of the maintenance department. With me is Brady Brandstetter, director of facility maintenance. The item before you requests board authorization to award a 10-year firm fixed contract to Clean Energy for operation and maintenance of CNG fueling facilities at our divisions, divisions 2, 8, 9, and 15. The current public-private partnership for operations and maintenance services at these divisions expires August 1. The daily compression of natural gas is critical for keeping the Metro bus fleet operational. That concludes my report, and if you have any questions, we'll answer them at that time.
Are there any questions from members of the board? Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, two things. One is the pricing piece of this as it relates to 10 years out. I mean, the whole 10-year contract issue, while I think it makes sense, there's technology issues, there's pricing issues. How are we protected against that on this 10-year contract?
Well, the 10-year model was established by Metro, and it's been copied across the country in the partnerships that have been developed for this kind of installation. The 10-year makes sense right now. We've had about 10 to 12 years with the installations that are currently there. The equipment itself is, I think by most standards, would be good for at least 20. If we had to go with something shorter, like a five-year program, we feel that the contractors would then have to try and amortize any risk over a shorter period of time, and that would affect our per-therm rate on this contract. So 10 years is pretty good. Within 10 years, we'll probably have to be even rethinking as to whether CNG is still the model that we're going to be following or some other technology.
That's my point.
Now, should in less than 10 years we need to go another direction, we do have the model to termination for convenience. So we're not going to be stuck in this for the full 10 years if it doesn't seem like the right thing to do.
Well, our technology changes or other opportunities present itself, there is a, we do have an out in our contract. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, we're buying 500 new CNG buses. We're going to have to fuel them.
No, I understand that. Right.
But the point is well taken. Technology is changing so rapidly, it's tough to predict. Any other questions or comments? We have some public input. Sun Yong Yang, Arnold Sachs, and Charles Love.
Good morning, MTA Board. Sun Young Yang with the Bus Riders Union and the Fight for the Soul of the Cities platform, which calls for zero-emission buses, converting MTA's fleet into zero-emission buses. 20 years ago, the Bus Riders Union pressured this agency to get the cleanest fuel technology available when buying new buses, and at that time, that was compressed natural gas. 20 years now, we're in the 21st century, with global warming and climate change on the horizon. It's time that this agency also invests tremendously to radically convert its fleet to zero-emission electric buses. Compressed natural gas comes from extreme, highly destructive and dangerous fracking technology, as well as other kind of extraction processes. We urge you to continue to approve buying more zero-emission buses that you did like last month. And many of these funding can come from taking away from projects like SR 710 tunnel. Thank you very much.
Mr. Sachs. Followed by Charles Love.
Yes, thank you again, Arnold Sachs. This item addresses several different bus facilities. It mentions Division 2, and this is from Item 42 from April 18, 2013. Division 13 upgrades allows the closure of Division 2. one of our oldest and most troublesome facilities that requires a significant investment in the near future to be upgraded into a state of good repair. So you're claiming in April you want to close Division 2, yet in July you want to invest money into CNG facilities. You're buying 500 clean CNG buses. You also failed to mention you're buying 10 BYD buses for $1 million each. So can you explain why the 500 CNG buses, what the cost would those would be compared to these 10 electric buses? And don't be surprised, Supervisor Antonovich, we don't want to blindside you on that deal.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Mr. Love?
Madam Chair, Mr. Mayor, and members of the board, my name is Charles Love, and I work in business development for clean energy. Thank you for your service to the board and to the community. The air in Los Angeles is cleaner because of the leadership and the direction of Los Angeles County Metropolitan Transportation Authority. One of the speakers earlier mentioned newer technology and zero emission buses. I believe the board has received information on renewable natural gas. Utilizing natural gas from landfills instead of common harvesting methods for natural gas. And I just wanted to thank you for your service to the community, and everyone in Los Angeles benefits by the leadership of LA Metro. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. What is the pleasure of the board?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any objections? That'll be the order. Item number 32.
Madam Chair, that's my item also.
Good.
Again, good morning. The item before you is to award a multi-year contract to responsive bidders for bus differentials. Differentials are an integral part of the bus powertrain system and are required to maintain safe and reliable equipment, and that concludes my presentation for bus differentials.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Move recommendation.
Second.
Moved and seconded. We have one public comment from Mr. Sachs.
We can put a half million miles over per day.
This isn't public comment. This is items on the agenda comment. Arnold Sachs, yes. I was glad to see that you're looking out for the safety and security of the buses. Do we have an item on the agenda coming up maybe in September about the safety and security for the light rail system, by the way, and the subway system, by the way? Will those be appearing, and will we get a cost estimate? And the concerns for the people that are involved in the bidding, how they would have to spread out their payments or how they will address their debt, whichever way you want to look at it. I understand that as we speak right now today, Metro is over $3 billion in debt. They have a $3 billion debt service they have to address. Will that item be appearing shortly? You talk about a lot of loans and programs like that.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
How are you paying off $3 billion in debt?
You have a motion and a second. Are there any objections? And that'll be the order. Next item, number 33.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we have before you a proposal to authorize the CEO to execute a contract with New Flyer Corporation. This covers the 550 buses currently in production at a cost not to exceed $3.5 million for installation of the upgraded ADA and enhanced safety provisions. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions from the board?
No recommendation.
Second.
It's been seconded. We have one person who wishes to speak, Mr. Sachs.
Yes, thank you again, Arnold Sachs. And on a serious vein here, since I'm getting so many good answers to some of these questions, a couple things. Bus loading for ADA compliance. Is it possible for you to do something on the street. I notice, especially around the convention center when there are a lot of conventions going on, and the Silver Line and buses want to use that bus stop. There are a lot of vehicles parked there. There are people who are ADA compliant, and they can't get into a loading position for the bus to put the ramp down. It should be looked at. It should be enforced by either the parking enforcement, the city police, transit police, somebody. But like you do on the subways, you have the door exits marked on the platforms. Is it possible for, I know it's an expense and maybe it'd be outrageous, but is it possible to make the same kind of decal system for loading and unloading of people in wheelchairs and walkers?
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Any objections to the motion? So ordered. Item number 34.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the board, what we have before you is a recommendation to increase the life of project budget and amend the FY14 budget for light rail vehicle procurements. This action would then enable us to exercise two of the four contract options with our current partner in production of our light rail vehicles. It would increase the total vehicles in production, if approved, from the current base of 78 to a total of 175. The vehicles are needed to support, replace our existing aging fleet, as well as to support the new Crenshaw project. We ask for your approval of this item, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board?
Chair.
Yes, Madam Chair. I had a couple. Thank you. Thank you for calling on me. As one of the new members of the board, I'm getting up to speed on a lot of issues, but I do remember this one from when it was in the news from LA Times and from Metro's exceptional blog, The Source. I want to plug Mr. Hyman over there. Just a couple questions. I noted from some of the old news coverage that it said that 28 of the new rail cars were scheduled to be delivered by 2015. And with Crenshaw and Expo coming online, I just wanted to check to see if we're still on track for that.
Well, the base order will be complete. The base order is of 78 vehicles, and it is late 15. They would, if these auctions are approved, they would continue the production of a minimum of four per month. So we anticipate that we will have the vehicles for Crenshaw at the appropriate time.
And at the time of the board's approval, the Metro staff analysis said that they expected the contract award would create 348 jobs and about $139 million in economic benefit. Do we still consider that to be the likely outcome?
Well, what this option requires the vendor, our partner, to do is to move the car shell production into the United States. They are in negotiations with the city of Los Angeles, actually, to do that work in Palmdale. They can speak to the status of that if they want. Our partners are here. But we do anticipate that the jobs projections that they submitted as part of their package are still in line and may, in fact, exceed that. But, yes, we think we're on target for not only the production of the vehicles here in a local area, but adding the jobs and technology is also one of the goals that we think is attainable.
You anticipated what my next question was going to be. Did you say someone was here who could speak in a little bit more detail on that?
Kiki Shario, who is our strategic partner in this venture, they do have representatives, and if you'd like to have them make a statement.
Would that be appropriate?
The CEO has a comment.
I'd like just to point out that we are prohibited by a federal law from using local preference, local content, local hiring. Thus, the point Richard made about making jobs to the U.S. is allowable, but not to L.A. Now, whatever deal the manufacturer does with somebody else is not us. That's not our deal. We did not consider local content or local preference when the board made the award a while ago, and we can't do so now. But what they do is up to them. They can
right.
work with somebody else to get it done.
We can't consider it, but if they're doing it, we can be very happy about it.
Yes. Bonnet, I will add that they are required to meet the requirements of the contract. They are very specific. They must do a final acceptance of all vehicles, including the options, in the United States. They intend to do that, and they intend to do it locally. They also are required by contract to
generate the car sales on the options in the United States, and their intent is also local. But they are here and would happy, and I'm sure they would be glad to answer any questions.
Is that appropriate, Madam Chair?
Sure.
While they come,
actually, I have some of them who want to speak under the public comment. But.
Madam Chair, I want to exemplify a point. We need these cars because the rail system is expanding. In addition to that, back 15 years ago, we did not do midlife rehabs on the original fleet of cars. Therefore, they're not in as good a condition as they should have been. We've increased investment now 4 years in a row in the system, but we need these cars to make sure that when we open up rail lines or we maintain the blue line or the expo line, that they have good quality, reliable vehicles out there. Thank you.
Director Fasano?
I just want to indicate that I think I want to compliment staff on what has been a difficult balancing act to put together an equitable procurement that complies with federal and state law, that also is aware of the various opportunities that are out there to boost our economy and to provide the necessary rail cars in what is becoming a very rapidly shrinking window for Crenshaw, for Expo, and the Gold Line Phase 2A. That'll be needing these cars really within 2 years for testing. So it really is essential that we move forward with this item, and there's been a lot of very careful consideration given to meet all the interests that are out there and comply with federal law at the same time.
All right. I'm to understand that Donald Boss is here from the supplier. Would you like to come forward and address the board, please?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. I have a statement that's about a minute and a half to 2 minutes long.
That's fine.
Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Don Boss. I'm Kinkishiria Project Manager. It's good to be back in front of you after almost 15 months when we were first awarded the contract. Since we were awarded the contract to build 78 light rail vehicles, ourselves and our partner have been working very hard to accomplish that task. And there's been a number of issues on the table, including an assembly site, technology, the specification, et cetera. But between us and our partners, our consultants and their consultants, we've been able to make significant progress. With regard to facility properties, we have an obligation. We've committed to putting together a final assembly site in the Los Angeles County area, and we're about 99% of the way there. As Richard Hunt commented, we are working with the City of Los Angeles, LAWA, and we've identified a facility in Palmdale that will suit our needs. So we're in the process of putting a plan in place to start reconstructing that to meet our needs. We're making an investment into the property. We're hiring personnel to start wrapping up activities for the production efforts, which will follow immediately the delivery of the first two pilot cars, which is scheduled for next year. We're very pleased that Metro is making this decision, hopefully. And we believe they made the right choice in Kinkishiria. We have a reputation for delivering high-quality, reliable cars on time, on budget, and on weight. And currently, we're still on schedule to do that. We are a company that keeps our commitments, and we'll continue to fulfill the commitments we made in our proposal and working with the local communities and development opportunities to make this project happen. And if anybody has any questions, we'd be happy to
I'm delighted to hear that we're using airport property in Palmdale for something good.
Supervisor Kanabe has like to make a comment.
You going to sell Ontario? Just kidding. my question, I guess, is maybe to the attorneys, Mr. Safer. I find it somewhat unusual, and I'm sure it's happened before, that we are extending and buying more cars before we have the delivery of the first car. And as Mr. Boss indicated, so far it's on time, on budget, on schedule, that kind of a thing. Within the confines of this contract, this additional buy, should the delivery of the first few cars be late, be over budget? What provisions or protections do we have on this extended purchase?
We will have to review the contract and look at those terms and get back to you. We haven't looked at that particular issue. The procurement folks may have more familiarity with that.
Well, then I'll address it to procurement folks. I mean, I think it's a significant issue because up right now, all of us at this table have been on from Metrolink to Metro to others. We've sat here and dealt with all the purchases of cars here, different manufacturers, kumbaya, we're going to do it, we're going to build it. So right now we have before us this additional purchase, which I understand the cost piece, a benefit to us, but I also know we haven't received the car yet. And I want to know that contractually how we are protected on this additional buy. Should they be over budget? Screw it up. It's happened before. I'm sure you won't. But it does happen. So I want to know our protections.
I'd like Victor to comment, but first let me just say, you recall the Breda experience we had where we got cars delivered that did not make our specification. We did inadequate project management, inadequate plant inspections, inadequate design reviews. That's not going to happen this time around. Richard's going to ensure that these cars are compliant with the specifications that were proposed. And we've been working with Kinky ever since the award was made to ensure that this happens.
Right. Siemens Assembly.
Sorry, Siemens.
We've been through this. So all I'm asking, understand, we have project management issues. It's not going to happen. But we still could have problems on their side. And how are we protected?
Good morning. My name is Victor Ramirez. I'm with Contract Administration. We have two essential protections under the contract. The first is significant liquidated damages for every day that they are late in the delivery of any of the base vehicles or the option vehicles. We also have an umbrella, 100% performance bond. Should they not perform, we have the ability to call on that bond. So those are the two major significant protections we have under the contract. Those liquidated damages are significant, and they apply for every day that they're late in the delivery of the base vehicles or the options.
All right, so we have late delivery. We have that protection. We have the umbrella bond, okay? Now on the issue of just, we do our end on project management, and we're not satisfied with the product. We're sort of stuck up front. What about the second buy?
So we don't accept the cars.
Right. That's exactly right, Director. The car is delivered when we accept it. And we will not accept the vehicle if it does not meet every item in the technical specification.
And we've got that protection.
We absolutely do.
Okay. I just want it on the record.
Yes,
I want it to come back and somebody tell me on July 25th you all approve blah, blah, blah kind of a thing. So
it's our intent from a project standpoint to brief the board quarterly on the status. We begin the actual production next month in Osaka. We monitor every step of the way, every issue that is being discussed. It has not been a perfect endeavor so far, but we have complete cooperation with this vendor. The partnership between us is very, very strong, and we are moving forward.
Anyone going to be on site in Osaka during manufacturing?
We have many. We'll have several representatives moving in and out of Osaka to watch and monitor. By the way, that's a requirement not only for our rail car build but our bus build as well.
Mr. Boss, don't take this personally, but I mean, I need these questions because we've had these promises from every car manufacturer in the freaking world, and it always comes back to bite us, and so I'm just concerned that we have the protection.
This isn't the perfect project. It's a challenge, but we've made a lot of headway. As Mr. Hunt alluded to, we're going to be cutting metal in August, and that's a good sign.
And I understand that, but for you to say, as the manufacturer, to say this is not a perfect project, you bid it.
Yep, absolutely. It's a challenge, and it's
going to be. And you won.
It's going to be a challenge to execute, but we're on track. We have a good partnership. That the requirements are very, very detailed. There's a significant amount of testing, an extreme amount of testing required on the base vehicles in order to qualify the design and manufacturability and reliability. And then concurrently, there's a number of tests that are required per vehicle at all the subsystems.
No, and I understand that. Yep. But you bid it,
yep.
And you won.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. Correct.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
And one of the challenges here is where we agreed to a delivery schedule twice as fast as was historically the case, and that's because of the requirements to get these cars because of our expanding system. I'll just ask, Don, one quick question. The decision to have a plant in L.A. somewhere preceded or followed the award decision by the Metro Board, since the board did not evaluate that?
The board did not evaluate the location of the facility when we were bidding it. And the decision to put a plant in L.A. County was a Kinkishira decision.
Afterwards.
After the fact, yes.
Thank you. That's important.
Yes. Yep. And we're looking at greater things for L.A. Additionally, we moved our U.S. headquarters here from Boston. We now have our official headquarters in El Segundo, in the basin near LAX. We're committed to L.A.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Boss? Thank you very much for your patience. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have some folks who wish to speak on the issue. Gonzalez, Madeline Janice, to be followed by Arnold Sachs.
Is it okay if we trade places, Mr. Gonzalez? Thank you. Hello, my name is Madeline Janice. I'm the National Policy Director for LANE, LA Alliance for a New Economy. First, warm congratulations to Mayor Garcetti and the new members of the board. I'm actually here to praise the staff and to make one recommendation. We're here in support of this recommendation. We actually feel confident that your staff is doing an excellent job. Just wanted to go back to the original vote last year, which many of you remember. For the original light rail vehicle RFP, Metro developed a very innovative program that we worked with them on called the U.S. Employment Plan, which required a real plan for creating jobs and making opportunities available for disadvantaged people. We've actually built that to a national project, which we would love to talk to you about at another time. Right now, I just wanted to remind you that Kinkishira actually did have a very complex plan for local job creation, which is a part of their contract. They're a little bit behind. They're required to meet with groups, including us, and a number of other groups to develop an outreach and recruitment plan. And we look forward to working with them to actually see this implemented.
Gonzalez?
Madam Chair, members of the board, my name is Rudy Gonzalez. I'm an attorney and senior organizer with LANE. I appreciate the fact that the contract that you are deliberating today has been strengthened by the U.S. Employment Plan as an innovative model. The contract offers a valuable opportunity for diversity in a region that is in desperate need for good jobs. We understand that Kinkishira will locate the plant in Palmdale, a region that in particular faces major economic challenges, including double-digit unemployment, as well as a serious historical pattern of racial discrimination. So the timing of a large rail car contract couldn't be better. The project is really an opportunity to build a bridge to connect communities that have long struggled with economic and racial divisions. The fact that rail cars produced by this project would ultimately service the Crenshaw line further reinforces the contract's opportunity to promote diversity in our county. I ask this board to value a diverse workforce as a positive outcome of the contract, and encourage you to ways to promote a diverse workforce.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. Mr. Sachs, to be followed by John Walsh. Thank you for coming down, Mr. Sachs. That's helpful.
Well, anything to be helpful, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. It would be helpful if you gave us some answers on some of these questions. The gentleman mentioned base vehicles versus option vehicles. This item refers to 97 vehicles. The gentleman from Kinshara mentioned they have an option. The contract was awarding 78 vehicles, so there's a difference of 20 vehicles. Who's building the 20 vehicles? When do they expect to break ground? They said they're cutting metal in August. When do they expect to break ground in a building in Palmdale? I know it's not under your – it was considered as part of the previous contract. We know what that was all about. And just very quickly, the young lady who came up to talk from the New Alliance, Los Angeles from a New Alliance, I believe that was founded by Maria Elena Durazo, and I also believe that your wife is a big supporter of LANE. Makes it kind of interesting that your wife would have supported somebody who was running against you.
Thanks. Thank you. John Walsh, to be followed by Damian Goodman.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I'm going to say what the Bus Riders Union used to say. proportionately speaking, you are spending for every $1 in bus replacement, $20 in rail replacement. Now, you stopped me once when I said bus 111 and bus 113 went down my throat. I am making a statement, and I want you to say that it is a lie. The percentage of people in this county taking public transit now, bus and rail, is lower than it was in 1985 with bus only. Okay, that's what's happening here. And as far, and also, you just heard what Art said, and I'll quote him. He said, "We're not as pleased with the condition of the rail cars in service as we expect." The reason you need 69 more rail cars is they're falling apart. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Mr. Walsh, Mr. Goodman.
Correct me.
Damian Goodman, Crenshaw Subway Coalition. Forgive me, I was a bit late. We see that these trains are needed for the Crenshaw line, and so we're expecting that a lot of maintenance will be necessary if you continue to proceed with your street-level plan from 48th to 59th, where the line is designed identical to the most accident-prone section of the Blue Line. Last month, over 300 members of the community filled this chamber with a simple request. Allow the contractors who wanted to bid the Park Mesa Heights Tunnel to do so. The old board chose not to do so, forcing us to focus on our lawsuit, which will be heard in district court in 20 days, and new political opportunities. Mr. Mayor, you joined this board with great expectations. You've made good on one of your promises, and it's great to look at the diocese and see the very capable Jackie DuPont Walker sitting here as a representative of South Los Angeles. It is so pleasing to know that a person who understands the economic development potential of transit sits on this board, and we hope that we can work with you so that we can convince them of the diamond in the rough that is the Park Mesa Heights community. You can't just pay off some merchants for short-term construction and can call that economic development. You have to make sure that this line is built appropriately so that we can realize the economic development potential and the dreams of Tom Bradley on this corridor. Thank you.
Mr. Anhonish?
Yeah, let me just say that the facility, whether we build, is going to be Plan 42, Lockheed's, and that's where many of our aerospace successes were constructed, and it's ready to go operational. They have full support of the community, and it's a very important system to be built at that location, but also what is being built will serve the entire county because we know our rail cars need to be updated and need to be replaced.
Thank you, sir. We have a motion?
Move it.
Moved and seconded. Any objections? Item passes. Next item on the agenda, number 35. Motion from Supervisor Antonovich.
I presume it is. I think it is. I won't read the whole thing. I just read the resolve part. We move that the staff report back in 60 days on which Expo Phase 1 stations can be gated and a financial plan to implement installation of gates at those stations, and further move that staff also report back on criteria for designing at-grade stations to accommodate gates and what can be modified or changed in our existing criteria so that we can incorporate gates at all at-grade stations currently under design in the planning process, in the planning stages. That's just a report.
Move it as amended.
Second.
Moved and seconded as amended. Any comments? Any objections? Public hearing? Public comment. I got it. Daniel Keller to be followed by Arnold Sachs to be followed by Lydia Pascali, to be followed by John Walsh.
Many years ago, I came here saying how many people were cheating on the red line. It was Yvonne Braithwaite Burke who came up with the idea of the turnstiles. And when they're all done and you have a news conference and you can actually say they're all locked on the red and the purple line, I hope that you honor Yvonne Braithwaite Burke because it was her idea. And it proved that she was right, and I was right. The tickets didn't really work. The only way to make sure everybody pays is to have it where people have to go through locked gates. I hope that you actually formally bring her to a board meeting and honor her, because when she was on this board, she voted the way she wanted, not a political way, the way she thought was best for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Arnold Sachs, followed by Lydia Pascal, to be followed by John Walsh.
Yes, thank you again, Arnold Sachs. It's amazing. You would make a motion to consider locking the gates on Expo Phase 1. Are you design build? You're paying contractors design build, losing bidders $1 million. And you're paying contractors for the downtown connector and the Purple Line $1.5 million, the losers for the design build. And you're not including gate latching in the design build for those functions? The gate latching for those lines that you're talking about were considered before the contracts were let out to build them. And now you're going to come back for change orders to the stations for latching of gates. That's some real thinking outside the block. But more importantly, it mentions communication plan. And two words, Goodyear blimp. And you can fill it with the gas you pass.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sachs. Lydia Pascali, to be followed by John Walsh.
My name is Lydia Pascale. I attend Robert F. Kennedy Community Schools. I'm a youth organizer in the Labor Strategy Center, Bus Riders Union. I'm here speaking on behalf of the black and brown youth in Los Angeles. As part of the youth community, I've witnessed a pattern of constant harassment, frisking, being cuffed, and tickets being given due to the simple fact that we cannot afford the $1.50 bus and train fare. The amount of money spent by the MTA on sheriffs to patrol the station to keep fare evasion low is unnecessary compared to the money that should be spent on a free youth pass for the youth ages of 21 and under. The sheriff's job is to provide safety, but on the other hand, a $250 ticket is being received. That is way beyond many families' budget. Along with putting our safety at risk, as shown in the case on Oscar Ground in Oakland and Kenneth Harding, who was killed during a routine fare evasion check in San Francisco. This only creates opportunities for criminalization. The problem, the real problem, is poverty, and the solution is taking money from sheriffs and giving free public transportation for the youth in Los Angeles County.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ball.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. What a mess. You want to go through the gates? Mr. Garcetti, go see the locked gates. They're not locked. Even after you lock them, you can easily slip through the guard for the wheelchair. Let me tell you, this is racism when you say, oh, they are sneaking on. They, Mr. Yaroslavsky, when you were quoted in the L.A. Times as saying that over half the people...
Mr.
You are a racist. Ask the sheriff.
Mr. Walsh. Mr. Walsh. Thank you. Thank you.
Never show more than 7 or 8%. And go back to New York, where the gates have been locked since 1880, and you see about the same percentage. They will jump, they will hop, they will get on. This is a waste of money, and Mr. Yaroslavsky, LA Times, New York Times, you are a racist.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Oh, dear. Mr. Goodhue, to be followed by Damian Goodman.
Thank you. Larry Goodhue, Long Beach. The systems that you're designed, I'm not sure you fully understand it. The tap system is great for buses. For the underground stations, what you are, in fact, creating is a disaster. You're creating what will become at some point in time a disaster beyond your imagination. You're effectively creating a death chamber with your locking system. There are too many things now, from railroad cars to elevators to escalators, that break down. When you're moving masses of people on rapid transit, you want an unfettered flow. You get the hell out of the way and let people move from point A to point B. The solution is you put boots on the ground in the cars get the sheriff off his ass and double the number of people he has.
Thank you, Mr. Goodhue. Mr. Goodman?
It's quite apparent by the continued progress on this system that this agency has no concern for the financial considerations of this project. Unless there are going to be significant reduction in the boots on the ground on the metro system, it doesn't make any sense. That remained true. That was true 5 years ago. It was true when you started building them, and it will be true when you lock them. But more importantly, much of what this last speaker said, where was the safety analysis when considering whether to implement these trains? We're seeing that there are multiple incidents of violence and terrorism that exist. And when this conversation took place at this board, it was that the gates would protect people from those activities. No consideration has ever been made as to what happens if there's enough flow, if there's enough room on these platforms with these gates to extract people out of these systems in the event of terrorism. If there is a board motion that was passed a long time ago that every decision of this board has to involve a safety analysis, it has never been done on this one. And I don't think you can move forward on locking any more. I think you need to unlock those until you do that
analysis.
Thank you,
Mr. Goodman.
Thank you.
We had a very complete board box outlining examples of what has been done to date on the gates. And what we're suggesting, I think, in the motion is that continues. So we have a motion. Amended motion and a second.
Yes, Madam Chair, just that I ask that we continue to get reports back periodically, that we also determine what is the impact on revenues, but also is the impact due to people tapping, just so we have a sense of how behavior is being affected as well, and obviously safety needs and will continue to be a concern. Thank you.
Okay. Well, maybe we can just amend it to include quarterly reports.
Absolutely.
Fine with that.
There's no objection. That'll be the amendment.
On the things that you just asked about, but the 60-day report on the other things.
Yeah, no, I meant on a follow-up.
Yeah, okay, yours, not a problem.
Both yours and Mike's would stand as is.
Okay, we got that all straight? All right. No objections, so ordered. Next item on the agenda, number 41. We have a motion. We have a report on the motion.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Don Sepulveda, Executive Officer, Regional Rail. I am to provide an update on the Bob Hope Airport station, the new Metrolink station that we are moving forward with on the Antelope Valley line, which is the third busiest line in the Metrolink system and the only one that's completely in Los Angeles County. We are moving forward with the development of the station. We have, right now, we are going through the negotiations for the contract for the scope and fee of this station. We expect to get the consultant on full NTP very shortly. We are moving forward. We expect to have the preliminary environmental engineering done by September of this year. We expect final design to be done by December of this year. We expect to advertise and procure construction by March of next year, 2014. And we expect substantial completion to be in January of 2015 in this station, and this is in line with the plans of Bob Hope Airport. Bob Hope Airport is and will continue to be our partners throughout the process on this, as will Metrolink.
Okay, thank you. You have comments from Mr. Fasana?
Actually, I have no comments on this.
Supervisor Antonovich?
Yeah, question, Don. What does it take to gain the categorical exemption from the FRA, and what could we do to ensure that we could do this on time or earlier?
Well, what we are working on right now is we are trimming back the scope to ensure that all of the project is completely within Metro right-of-way. Therefore, we have no outside impacts that would hold back on any categorical exemption. If our Van Nuys station that we recently received a CE on is any indication of how the FRA will treat this, it will go very smoothly, and that one had actually impacts outside of the footprint of Metro right-of-way. So we expect there to be no real issues in moving this thing forward, Mr. Supervisor.
And the airport, again, authority is comfortable with all the elements of this proposal?
The airport is very comfortable with what we're doing and moving forward on this. This actually coincides with the particular event that they have in January of 2015, which works. At the same time, we're working with the airport to develop a program to enact some changes and some improvements on the other stations serving the airport on the Ventura line, and we're working forward with a plan on that.
And was it necessary for us to wait until our regional rail bench was completed to pursue this contract?
Yes, it was.
Why?
It was actually simplifies our process, and it met with what we needed to do as the agency moving this thing forward, and it created allowed us to have a bit more control on it than if we did it another way.
And what is the program and, let's say, integrating the this in the area, the airport, the San Fernando Valley COG, and the businesses, the retail centers in this plan?
We will start with our outreach process. We have I met with our outreach folks the other day. We're going to start with the outreach program. Once we get everybody on board, we'll do a kickoff and we'll enact that plan and move that plan forward. And we'll work with the airport on that. We've already talked with the airport on how that outreach would somewhat move forward. We've had a 60,000 foot discussion on this, but we will have a plan moving this forward, and we don't see any problems with it.
Move the item, Madam Chair.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Arnold Sachs would like to speak on the item. Mr. Sachs, quickly, please.
Again, now that you have, thank you very much, Arnold Sachs, now that you have initiated discussions regarding the Burbank Airport and Metrolink, is there any way that you can initiate some kind of process with the Norwalk station to connect a little bit easier with the Green Line station so people can come off of that rail line system, which would include the lines through southern L.A. County, Orange County, to get to the Green Line instead of going all the way to Union Station, they go back to the Green Line. And that being said, the transportation transfer from this new station to the Bob Hope Airport, will that be a Metro bus? Will that include Metro services? Because right now, according to the Metrolink budget, they are paying $1.10 per fare. So Metro is subsidizing Metrolink customers at the tune of 40 cents per passenger. If they use a Metrolink tap card, they will ride for free on Metro. So you're again subsidizing again. What
Thank you,
are you
Mr.
talking?
Sachs.
You're talking about the gates and losing
Thank you,
funding
Mr.
there.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. So they receive and file. No objections. We will receive and file. Next item on the agenda is number 55. Supervisor Kanabe, you want to say something on this before we? Further?
No. Madam Chair, I'm just in responding, and I've wondered about this for a long time and working with the various folks in Long Beach and the input from the city of Long Beach, and I think the fact that the way the loop runs, it truly is a destination, and so I would hope that my colleagues would support the changing just from Transit Mall to downtown Long Beach Station, and with that, I would move the item.
Thank you. Moved and seconded. We have three folks who'd like to speak: Arnold Sachs, Malcolm Clubman, and Mr. Goodhue. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. It's just going to be a wonderful year with you leading the parade here. And I'm certainly glad to hear that you are making this change. It's not like state legislation where you had to modify that to create the connection for the Pasadena, Los Angeles to Pasadena.
This is in regards to Long Beach, Mr. Sachs.
We're talking about the blue line here, sir.
We're talking about renaming a station. End of conversation.
On the Metro Blue Line, the Metro Blue Line.
Downtown Long Beach Station.
If you had continued with the programming for the Metro Blue Line, there would be no downtown connector. The Metro Blue Line would run from Long Beach through Pasadena into Sierra Madre Villa, and it would have been operating in 1990.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
Really?
Mr. Klugman? It's gone. Mr. Goodhue.
Very good, Hugh. I would ask that you modify this to so it would read, give the city of Long Beach the opportunity to select a name other than that
I think you will find them amenable to.
This is the City of Long Beach recommendation.
Correct.
Yes, I know.
It's not my recommendation.
I appreciate that.
The City of Long Beach wants to name this.
Okay. I've got to tell you, based upon the conversations at the City Council meeting, they would be amenable to a name like RMS Queen Mary or the Aquarium of the Pacific. So the supervisor is absolutely correct. It came up through the city, but I would reword this motion to leave them the option of that.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
You have 13 seconds left.
I would move the recommendation, Madam.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any objection? So ordered. Next item on the agenda, number 60. Motion from Nigerian requesting information, and I think our attorney has response.
Well, your board requested that County Council respond to four specific questions that were posed by Director Nigerian concerning the preparation of the environmental documents for the SR710 project. We have provided a written memorandum to your board responding to those questions. You know, if you wish further discussion, further questions, we can talk about those without waiving the confidentiality of the document that was submitted.
Are there any comments from, yes, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Safer. But the one point I want to raise is that this almost didn't make it on the agenda. So there was a little bit of last-minute scrambling Friday to have this posted on Monday at the appropriate time. So to the extent that that happens, to me or to any other director that puts forth a valid motion, I want staff to be sure that there is not a miscommunication between what was said. And we were actually pulling transcripts from the meeting to say, was this really a motion? Was this, et cetera? So I appreciate getting it on, but let's try and avoid a last-minute falling off the agenda. And there is a memo, and I appreciate that. Is that attorney-client privilege?
Yes.
And who holds that privilege?
The board.
As a whole?
Correct.
No, I haven't, and I haven't. For the record, I haven't transmitted this to anyone. Am I allowed to discuss? I mean, so can we discuss that in any way, or this is solely... Okay.
Well, you know, we can discuss the issues. We can't discuss the memo itself, but, you know, we can discuss the issues.
Well, let me then say, do you agree with the memo? Have you changed your mind? Well, there was a memo out, and
The memo has my initials on it.
By
the memo.
And that fully reflects the state of the legal opinion of Metro at this point.
The memo responds to the specific questions that you asked.
Memo that you signed. Did you agree with what you signed?
the memo. The memo responds to the questions that you asked. If you have other questions or related questions, they may not be addressed by that memo.
Okay.
But you know.
I mean, this isn't a booby trap. Nigerian talks about the 710 tunnel, and everyone. I'm not making a lot of friends on the board with the 710 tunnel. I mean, let's talk about that. But this was important so we as a board could determine what our relationship is with Caltrans. And if we're going to, you know, skin our knuckles on this, let's make sure that we're doing it for that reason and we're not overshadowed and superseded by Caltrans. And you do address several of the issues in the memo. I appreciate that. And...
may I suggest that if we're going to discuss the content of the memo, that we do it in closed session?
And I'm not discussing that.
Okay.
I'm
thanking
him
for that.
I just
want to keep us clean, man.
And I appreciate that.
Okay.
So is that why it wasn't on the agenda, that because it was confidential, attorney-client privilege?
No, what had happened is...
And why is it attorney-client privilege? Let me just ask you that.
Because you asked the question of County Council, so I was responding to the questions in a written memorandum. Staff was, you know, quite frankly, staff was going to prepare a memo, its own memo. You know, I told them that, you know, I could prepare the memo because it was addressed to me. And that's how it ended up happening this way. I suspect if staff wanted to put something on the agenda, you know, with its own responses, it certainly could have done that. But to protect the confidentiality of a request made of counsel, I prepared a written memorandum and submitted it to the board.
Okay, I have an item which is before the board, which may. I mean, does this violate attorney-client privilege if I address certain items that are addressed in a memo? Let me do this. Rather than have an open discussion on this, let me keep this off for the moment and speak to you privately. And if perhaps I still believe that we need to make this open in terms of a motion, I will address that with you and get your advice as to the confidential nature of such an opinion and where we can go from here.
Okay.
I mean, again, just the bottom line is, where are we as a board in terms of our rights and obligations with Caltrans on this tunnel issue? And that was the only point of this, and I will,
Madam Chair,
I will remain silent now. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I would suggest maybe if we broaden the conversation a bit to ask, beyond the narrow legal issues, what are the practical issues which describe our relationships as opposed to the narrow legal issues? So if you don't mind, I'll join that conversation with you.
Yes, I would like to do that, and we can maybe sort out.
If you like, I'd join it too.
We can sort out the details before we bring it to the board and just have an ongoing discussion.
Director Fasano?
Yes, Madam Chair. Actually, I want to agree with Director Najarian on something he raised. Actually, it's not about the 710, but at the, I believe it was the last Operations Committee meeting, I had requested a legislative matrix back to the board, too, which I don't believe we have received. So I think there are some issues on follow-up when items are brought forward in committees. I think it's important for us to have a comprehensive view on legislation. So I share Director Najarian's concerns from a process standpoint. I want to thank legal counsel for the memorandum. I think it did clarify some of the concerns for me that have been raised, and I appreciate Metro's efforts in terms of facilitating a discussion and review of potential options for the 710 project moving forward. Thank you. I would like the ledge matrix by tomorrow if I can't get it before today's meeting, which obviously I will not.
Okay.
Nancy, let's follow up.
We still have many people who want to speak on this item. So buckle your seatbelts, I guess. Item number 60, Dr. Richard Schneider, Dr. Marina, Kusria? I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Good morning, honorable board members. I am Dr. Richard Schneider, mayor of South Pasadena. In 2008, Measure R listed the 710 tunnel as one of the projects to be funded. The cities of South Pasadena and La Cañada sued, contending this was a pre-commitment to a project before CEQA review. County Councils Andrea Orden and Charles Saver argued successfully that the tunnel was not a CEQA project. The Metro had the authority to amend the Measure R expenditure plan. That Measure R was not a commitment to any project and not committed to the 710 tunnel. CEQA does not apply to a decision not to carry out a project. The Metro Board can determine the tunnel cannot be pursued as a feasible alternative until its financial feasibility is established. I request that the 710 tunnel be eliminated from the EAR and dropped from further consideration, or the EIR should be delayed until the tunnel's financing is assured. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm Dr. Marina Kubestrian, Mayor Pro Tem of South Pasadena, and thank you, Honorable Chair and members of the board. Mr. Failing, welcome. Mr. Garcetti and new board members. South Pasadena is pleased that the board is considering responses to questions posed by Director Najarian to County Council concerning preparation of the environmental documents of the SR 710 gap closure. We would like to point out that Caltrans is indisputably the lead agency as delegated by the FHA under NEPA. And for this reason, it is incomprehensible that there is not a memorandum of understanding between Caltrans and Metro as to who is responsible, accountable. To spell that out is very important. And this is 2 years into the process where that responsibility is not spelled out. We would also like to point out that Metro is not bound to fund a tunnel because of Measure R. The Court of Appeals has agreed with us that the North Gap closure certainly does not have to be a tunnel alternative. This lack of commitment is appropriate since to date there are no cost estimates for the tunnel, whether tolls will be used, whether trucks
Thank
will
you.
Be included.
Thank
we
you.
Urge you to get more information before moving
Thank
on.
You.
Thank you.
I'm going to make a suggestion and ask some of you your opinion. Excuse me. We are not voting on this today. We have more information that we need to get pulled together. I'm asking if some of you wouldn't just as soon wait to be heard when it's going to be more timely. If not, I'm happy to go through the litany here, but understand there will not be a vote on this today.
I'd like to submit the letter, if
right
possible.
Ahead.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, let me help you with your attempt to streamline the meeting. I do appreciate, it appears that there are several dozen speakers here, that to the extent that your points are repetitive, come up and say that you agree with the previous speaker. To the extent that your points are new points that have not yet been raised, please feel free to use your card. But if it's just a repetition, stand up either with the person that's reflecting your remarks or come to the podium and say, I do agree with the remarks made by so-and-so, just so we can move this along. This isn't the fight here. I don't know. I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
Okay. Based on that, may I ask any of those of you who agree with the first two speakers to raise your hand and perhaps forego the opportunity to speak? Well, I see one person. Thank you very much. Okay. Another one. Thank you. We'll continue with this, but I invite you who chose not to speak this time to come back and speak when it is an action item. And you'll have to tell me who you are because I've moved these all around.
Madam, my name is Don Justin Jones. I live in the Republic of Eagle Rock.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I'm here to speak to the new mayor, Mr. Garcetti. I'd like to remind him of how we felt 6 years ago after the Iowa primary came in. Remember that? You felt that new spirit of change in the air? We expect to see the same thing here. I'm here because I represent the Caltrans tenants, over 500 families. We want to call your attention to the audit that was done of Caltrans' activity. Ask yourself if you can trust an agency where the audit of the state of California shows that there was corruption, theft of public monies, fraud, cronyism, nepotism, contract rigging, obstruction of justice, and destruction of records. Mr. Garcetti, we've given these audits to members of your staff before, to members of the staff here. So far, we received no pushback. We need to ask ourselves, if we cannot trust the state of California, who is defrauding the city and the county of $24 million a year from the rent of the houses,
Sorry.
How can we trust them to build a tunnel?
Up. Thank you. Your
thank you very
up.
Much. Madam Chairman, thank you for your courtesy.
Thank you. Jessica Duboff, L.A. Chamber of Commerce, Damian Goodman.
Good morning.
Hold on, just a moment, please.
Sure.
The point of order I was going to raise is the fact that this shouldn't even be on the public agenda. That's what I don't understand. Because these folks are commenting on something they haven't seen or talked about, and I understand that. But this is a response back. If it's attorney-client privilege, it should have been our closed session agenda, not on the public agenda. It's absolutely inappropriate to have this on the public agenda. But go ahead and take testimony. If
it's on the agenda.
Under public comment, not under an item we didn't.
A closed session is an item you can have public.
Help me out here. That's what we pay you for.
Yeah. The item is on the agenda.
Yeah. The item's on the agenda now, but it should not have been. If it's related to attorney-client privilege.
I understand.
Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is Jessica Duboff. I'm here on behalf of the Los Angeles Area Chamber of Commerce. I'll simply say that we urge you to remember your responsibility to the Measure R voters, a measure which passed with support from over two-thirds of L.A. County because it outlined a detailed plan to residents regarding where exactly the dollars would go. Therefore, it is imperative that you ensure that the environmental review study currently underway is completed so that the public, Caltrans, and Metro have all the facts to make informed decisions about what is best for the region.
Thank you.
Damian Goodman for the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. I just wish that we could get a tunnel on Crenshaw that you didn't care about the cost. It's 11 blocks. It's $60 million. And it solves your lawsuit as opposed to put you on a path toward a lawsuit. So the striking, but I want to talk a little bit about this attorney-client thing. First of all, I don't know what your county council is telling you about us. We've got a former trial attorney of the Civil Rights Division, former education director of MALDEF, former employment law rights attorney, who is our judge. That's who will hear our case on the 15th. And I'm saying that because as is the 710 community, as is the downtown Connecticut community, as is the Wilshire community, it seems as this agency has an appetite for lawsuits. If it's extremely more expensive, tell the public that. Let the public know that. Have that conversation. What are you hiding? Why is it necessary for these type of discussions to take place in closed session? Thank you.
Thank you. Sam Burgess, to be followed by Arnold Sachs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sam Burgess. I was going to speak on one point. I will speak on another, specifically the attorney-client privilege, which I consider to be an insult to the public. For over 3 years now, we, the public, have been to almost every meeting this body has held on the 710 issue. We've continually asked who was in charge, who was going to make the final decision. Finally, Mr. Najarian was able to get this issue, this question, on the agenda. And what happens? We have a lawyer coming up here and saying the public does not have a right to know what we're talking about and what our decision is. That is, if not illegal, quite insulting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burgess. Mr. Sachs, to be followed by Richard Helgeson.
Yes, thank you again, Arnold Sachs. I'd like to just two things. Somebody mentioned about financing for the tunnel. Financing is tied to the change that's going to be presented to the state legislation regarding the change from the two-thirds majority to the 55% for special elections. That's where your funding is going to come from, because that's what they want to push for. We get that 55%, money will go just like Measure R. You know, they said $40 billion. They're never even going to get close to that. And then a question of county council. Question of county council, why is county council the council for Metro? I believe Supervisor Commissioner Najarian, you're not a county council. You're not a supervisor. I believe Madam Dubois, you're not a county supervisor. I believe Pam O'Connor's not a county supervisor. I believe Mr. Leahy is not a supervisor either. Why is county council involved in a non-county agency giving advice?
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Thank you,
so are you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
Good morning. I'm Richard Helgeson. I'm a resident of South Pasadena. I'm also a retired government attorney. And I retired, yes. And I used to represent a lot of governmental entities and joint projects. And I was surprised to find that there is no MOU on this. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but that's the rumor that's going around. My first advice to all governmental entities that are entering into a project with another governmental entity is you need a formal, definitive written agreement that lays out the roles of the agencies, the lines of responsibility, how specified contingencies are going to be carried forth. And it not only promotes clarity, but it promotes transparency. And Measure R monies are a sacred trust, and if you're going to carry them out, you should be doing that pursuant to a formal written instrument. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Helgeson. Eric Roman to be followed by Rosa Miranda, and I'm not sure how this relates to the item, but...
Buenos días, mi nombre es Rosa Miranda, soy miembro del sindicato de pasajeros.
Good morning, my name is Rosa Miranda, I'm a member of the bus riders union.
Estoy aquí el día de hoy uniéndome al llamado de los residentes del noroeste de Los Ángeles y del Valle de San Gabriel para oponerse al proyecto de túnel del 710.
I'm here today to join the call from the residents of Northeast LA and the San Gabriel Valley to oppose the SR-710 tunnel.
El sindicato de pasajeros estamos pidiendo restricciones profundas en el uso del auto privado e incluso un moratorio en la construcción de la autopista y carreteras. Estas políticas son críticas para romper la adicción del uso de los angelinos.
The bus riders union is calling for deep big restrictions on the use of the private automobile, including a moratorium on all construction of highway and freeway projects. These policies are critical to break LA's addiction to the single passenger automobile.
También limpia nuestro aire mortal y dado la crisis del cambio climático para reducir las grandes cantidades del carbono que dañan el clima mundial.
Also, this will help clean up our air. This is necessary to clean up our air and given the crisis of climate change to reduce the enormous carbon footprint that damages the global climate.
Las tarifas propuestas para el uso de este túnel asegura que el túnel estará vacío y sea un fracaso costoso y solo dejando grandes riesgos de seguridad, salud y medio ambiente.
The tolls proposed for this tunnel will basically guarantee that it will remain empty and will be a failure, a costly failure that will only leave the communities with very big risks of safety, security, and risk to the environment.
El costo millonario de este proyecto amenaza prioridades de transporte público. En lugar de túnel, necesitamos servicio las 24 horas del día, 7 días a la semana y transporte gratuito.
Thank you.
The cost.
Your time, Mr. Roman.
I'll defer.
Quickly, she went over.
Okay, so I'll defer my time to finish. So the $1 billion cost of this project threatens other transportation priorities for the county. In place of this tunnel, we call on you to create a bus system that runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with low or free fares and dedicated lanes for buses all throughout LA. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Roman, was that yours as well?
Yes, I passed.
Thank you. John Walsh. To be followed by Joanne Knuckles, Sylvia Plummer, Diana Mahmood, Dr. Bill Sherman, Jan Sutru, and Dr. Tom Williams.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I've been addressing this board, the LACTC, RTD on this issue of the 710 extension. You know, I think I was about 17 years old the first time I got up here. Okay, the older people that were up here 30, 40 years ago, they're dead. These people here who are against the 710 freeway are their great-grandchildren. And I want to say that if God Almighty said John Walsh can live till the day that they start building the tunnel, if that's what God said, he will die on the day that he start building the tunnel, I say, thank God you have granted me immortality. Because you're never going to build this damn thing. You're just going to do studies. And great, we don't need it. HollywoodHighlands.org.
I'll make an amendment that we commence construction tomorrow.
Joanne Knuckles, to be followed by Sylvia Plummer.
Joanne Knuckles, representing the No 710 Action Committee. Opposition to the 710 tunnels is strong, determined, undeniable, and has grown exponentially over the last 10 years. Last year, at 5 meetings in August, one of which was the Los Angeles City Council, 3 in Pasadena, 1,700 people showed up to protest the tunnels being studied in the 710 EIR and opposition to the tunnels. The political reality is that MTA could never get political support nor agreements to build the tunnels from Los Angeles, South Pasadena, and Pasadena, the cities directly affected who oppose the 710 tunnels. The other tunnel alternatives being studied would make a much better preferred alternative and could be supported by the cities and communities. So my question now is, when will this issue come back to the board when we can speak to it again?
Thank you very much. Sylvia Plummer?
I'm Sylvia Plummer.
I'm sure you'll know
I'm
what
from Pasadena. And I would like to know why there isn't an MOU between Caltrans and Metro for this project. Also, there are MOUs for other projects like the High Desert Corridor, so why isn't there one for ours? My concern with this project is the two double-decker 60-foot diameter tunnels Metro wants to build. As of today, there's no such tunnels that exist on this earth that are that size. Why are you going to build it here? There is no money to build the tunnels, so private, public-private partnership investors will provide that money. That means tolls to pay them back. The tunnel is not the solution. This outdated, historically controversial construction project guarantees to deliver more congestion. The tunnel's high tolls will ensure that the tunnel remains empty and local streets jammed. Legally, I believe that the Metro Board is free to determine now that it doesn't want the tunnel option. Do the right thing and remove the tunnel option.
Thank you. Dr. Bill Sherman, Jansit. Wait. Okay. Dr. Sherman wasn't standing up there. Okay. You are?
My name is Diana Mahmood, and like my husband, I have spent many years in public service. I have spent decades providing legal advice to the City of Los Angeles and its Department of Water and Power and Metropolitan Water District on public works issues. Agenda item number 60 addresses a fundamental issue of the relationship between Metro and Caltrans. And that issue arises because of transparency. One response is cloaked in attorney-client privilege. It's quite ironic that the issue of transparency regarding the nature of the relationship between the two entities is, in fact, discussed in a manner that is not transparent. It only further obfuscates the question. Agreements are necessary not only to delineate responsibility, but to establish accountability. With so much money at stake and so many other potential uses of the funds, I strongly urge you to push for an MOU.
Thank you. Dr. Bill Sherman, to be followed by Jan Suhu, is that correct? And then Trish Gossett.
Dr. Bill Sherman, South Pasadena. I just want to know who to sue when this biased EIR-EIS is finished and we take it to court. Is CH2M Hill going to pay the attorney's bill? Is the Metro Board going to take the responsibility for this flawed study? Will they use Measure R funds to mount the defense? Or is it going to be Caltrans who will defend Metro's study in front of a judge? CH2M Hill and Metro staff have evaded questions on why and how they added new alternatives, or variations as they like to call them, without a vigorous performance comparison. Perhaps a highway through San Rafael or up Los Robles would perform better. South Pasadena and other co-plaintiffs, including the Sierra Club, stopped this project with injunctions in 1973 and 1999. These injunctions remain in place. We are two for two. How is the 710 Gap project doing? CHM2L and Metro staff won't answer me, but they can't refuse to answer to you, the Metro Board, or to a person wearing a black robe. Welcome, Mayor Garcetti.
Thank you. Jan Suhu, then Trish Gossett.
Hi, my name is Jan and is Suhu. I'm here to represent the No 710 Action Committee, but I'm actually a resident of another city formerly opposed to any extension of the 710 to the 210, and that is the city of La Cañada, Flint Ridge. This is an issue of real interest to the public. In the past 2 weeks, we've attended four Metro-sponsored meetings at which we've heard three different accounts of the roles and responsibilities for this study, all by Metro staff. As a result, we remain unclear on several key issues. Who will make the decision about the preferred alternative, and who will be the responsible party in the event of litigation? We're concerned that staff has not submitted for public inspection the report they were mandated by this board to produce. It seems consistent with a pattern of avoidance, or to be nice and use Director Fasana's words, lack of follow-through, that we believe is detrimental to the robust and transparent process. In February, staff submitted the alternatives analysis report as a receive and file rather than an action item, and therefore come here.
Thank you. Trish Gossett, to be followed by, thank you.
I support the position of Dr. Bill Sherman.
Thank you. Dr. Tom Williams.
Dr. Tom Williams, L.A. 32 Neighborhood Council, and thank all the poor people from L.A. on the board that are going to have to suffer with 710. 710, Memorandum of Understanding. Why isn't the California Transportation Commission included in this, and make sure that they concur with the Memorandum of Understanding if it is ever formalized? The Memorandum of Understanding should also include errors and omissions. Who's responsible for those? Because we see a lot of them. Overruns. For the Big Bertha up in Seattle, the cost overruns were going to be the responsibility of the local government, that is, the city of Seattle. They were really upset over that part of their memorandum. So I hope it doesn't come back to L.A. City or Alhambra or Pasadena.
Thank you. Mr. Fasano wanted to speak.
At this point, I just appreciate the opportunity to see, to get the report back. I would hope that the study would proceed along and that when we actually receive their study back, I mean, I think there's a lot of presumptions on what it's going to say and what the outcome will be and that it's already flawed. But I think there are certainly some merits as well that you don't hear today or you haven't heard today from the public of why you would want to connect some of these stems of our highway system and to relieve some of the pressure on some of the other highways, such as the 101 and such as the 5, that flow through critical junctures downtown and even to relieve pressure off of South 710. So I would hope that we at least have the opportunity to get a study before us to where we can actually consider all 5 of the alternatives and then determine where we can move forward. I don't know that we need to continue on a monthly basis to have various discussions on memoranda that have come with our legal counsel to others. I think we need to let the process move forward, and then let's make a decision. I know that there are people that are opposed to this. There are many others that do believe that there may be benefits. You know, some of the moratoriums that were talked about earlier dealt with surface routes. The surface route has been taken off the table, and I think many of us heard that when the surface route was taken off, that there would be consideration of an underground option, which certainly this agency is building underground with many other projects throughout this county. It's a viable option. It deserves to be studied. It deserves to be heard. And ultimately, you know, we can't prejudge what the ridership will or won't be. There will be, if it is approved, there will be a financial package that is either viable or it is not. But people are trying to shortcut it. They're trying to shortchange the process and prevent the public and interested parties from hearing what the ultimate results would be. So I'll conclude my comments at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Antonovich?
A few months ago, we had asked who is responsible for this issue. And Mr. Leahy, we discussed it's a Caltrans project. Caltrans is the one who's responsible. It's not the MTA. It's Caltrans. We all know that. We know that. The idea that somehow we don't know some of these costs, therefore we're going to demagogue it. Funny, those questions were not asked just a couple months ago when this board voted for the subway, I should say a tunnel in the Sepulveda Pass, where it's clearly undefined, had no environmental work completed, had no known cost estimate, would require private investment backed by a toll facility to collect those revenues. And again, it was a major tunnel that increases demand for use of the tunnel. And yet it was silence. So this is just pure demagoguery. I mean, let's get the facts. Let's have the EIR completed. It's going to be completed in 2014. And then we can discuss what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. It's time to be, you know, you have to be a statesman and get the facts and then attack based on the facts. But don't support projects without the facts and then, again, oppose another project on the basis that you don't know the facts. That's why we are doing the EIR. You didn't know the facts when you voted for the tunnel under the Beverly Hills High School. So, again, let's get the facts, and then we can discuss that. And when we all know that Caltrans is the agency, that's the lead agency in this. And that had been discussed in a meeting, and many of the 710 people who were for and against the 710 were there when that was discussed.
Thank you very much. This concludes this portion of the meeting. We will adjourn to...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. Arnold Sachs, John Walsh, and Damian Goodman. Mr. Sachs, Mr. Walsh, Mr. Goodman. These are closed session comments.
General public comment. Please, police, will you get this man out of the way?
Is your name Mr. Sachs?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Is your name Mr. Sachs?
The first person who gets up there, right?
Is your name Mr.
Sachs? Is the first person, Mr. Boyce, the first person who...
Sergeant, point of order.
I will
Sergeant,
not be bullied.
Would you just handle this
by someone who is 30 years younger than me? Okay? Okay, get your hands off. Am I in order?
No, sir. I called Mr. Sachs, then you, and then Mr.
But he didn't show up.
Goodman.
After his 30th time.
I did show up. Get the hell out of the way.
Hey, this man is pushing me.
Watch your language, and please respect each other.
He can bully you, but he can't bully me.
He's not going to bully me.
Hey, Madam Chair, are we in public comment?
You're on 58. Yes, we're on public comment.
Oh, this is closed session, then. This is a closed session. This
closed
is not
session.
Public comment.
This is not public comment. We have public
Thank
comment.
You. Closed session. My concerns about when you go into closed session and the items that are discussed actually refer to something that occurred with high-speed rail. And when you go into closed session and you discuss these cases and you come up with a ruling or decision, is there a lesson that's learned from it? You know, I had a closed session a few years ago in 2005 regarding Tutor Perini, and yet now they have become the lead agency for high-speed rail. And Metro lost that case. They settled for pennies on the dollar. Some of the board members are still sitting here, pennies on the dollar. And yet the High-Speed Rail Association has picked them to be the lead agency for high-speed rail, which Metro will be investing in.
Thank you, Mr.
How
Sachs.
Can you
Your
do
time
that?
Is up, Mr. Sachs. Mr. Walsh.
Not there.
Thank you. Thank you for being patient,
I'm
Mr.
Scared.
Walsh.
Okay. I don't thank me. The record will show that you said at this meeting that the first person who arrives is the first person to speak. Okay? Now, Mr. Garcetti, you have appointed two city councilmen. Two city councilmen.
Closed session is the topic.
The law... In closed session, you're not allowed to have two city councilmen there. The law says one city councilman in closed session and two members of the public. That's what the law says, and we will go to the state. You have violated the law. You have no right to go back here into public into closed session on an item that should be heard right here.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh.
Wait a second. I still have 15 seconds. Why do you despise me? I only get up 5 or 6 minutes. I don't get up a 30 mission. Why do you despise me? HollywoodHighlands.org.
I do not despise you. Damian Goodman.
Do they provide these?
I called you, Mr. Klugman, for the previous item. You were out of the room.
Are you going to do public comment before you go to the closed session?
Yes.
You are?
And that's where I'm there, too.
Well, I'll speak now. You can take my public comment time.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, ma'am. Board members, after 6 years of advocacy, multiple mobilizations to this board meeting, this is your last opportunity, I suppose, to try to settle the community's justified lawsuit against this agency and the Federal Transit Administration for violating civil rights and environmental law and approving a street-level design in Park Mesa Heights.
Oh.
You were submitted last month a settlement offer. And it is something that we believe is more than fair, allows both the agency and the community to move forward on this project. We hope that you make wise decisions, even though we see this is not on your agenda. We hope that you make wise decisions and that you look at this with new, fresh eyes and with an understanding of our commitment to making sure that we will go to any length to ensure that this line is underground. Also, Art hasn't given me the ATCs. What are you hiding? The time is up. You've approved the contract. Make them public.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's public comment. Beverly Taylor, to be followed by Susan Stockel, to be followed by Doug Arsenal, Rabbi Rachel Timmerer, Maurice Rhodes, Delio Munoz, Larry Goodhue, Damian Woodman.
Maurice Rhodes.
Mauricio Rhodes?
Maurice Rhodes.
I'm sorry, that's not what I saw. Do I have a card for you?
Yes.
Okay, I called your name. Good, thank you. Please speak.
Good afternoon, Mr. Garcetti.
Put it back to a minute.
I will link my struggle to end the blatant racism, willful and wanton discrimination, bias, and prejudice pursuant to my Tuesday, December 20th, 2011, submitted Metro Board Business formal complaint to Mr. Arthur Leahy. Mr. Thomas has declined to address this issue. The fundamental question of law in Florida versus Zimmerman is, can a white man disobey a direct police order? Wherefore, stand your ground law defense is moot and does not apply. President Obama and his Justice Department is impaled upon this issue. Hence, President Obama needs to release America from this lie and anarchy that has resulted from the incoherence and blatant racism of the state of Florida.
Thank you, sir. Your time is up. Thank
you. Mr. Garcetti, I have a copy that I would submit to you right now.
Absolutely.
Welcome to this board. I look forward to you leading this city.
Your time is way, way, way up, okay? Larry Goodhue, John Walsh, Daniel Keller, Mr. Walsh.
Oh, I'm waiting for Arnold Sachs.
I didn't call him.
I get attacked when I get up here, and I get it for pushing Arnold Sachs out of the way.
Time has started.
Okay. I want you to see the picture of the 5 freeway, Mr. Mayor. This was the night of the demonstration. We took over the freeway, and we turned it into a pedestrian mall. See the picture? And we turned it into a bicycle lane. I just want to say that under, you know how much I despised Villaraigosa, but the city was under control for 8 years. You took over 15 days later, the city's out of control. And I said it to your face, and that's what people are saying behind your back. So you better get your father to run the city better. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Matthew Klugman, Arnold Sachs. Dr. Tom Williams.
Oh, he's got it.
Yes, Mr. Keller, I'm so sorry. I called you, but I didn't give you a chance. It's your turn.
Okay. Who's up first? Okay, my name's Daniel Keller. I agree with Damian Goodman. I hope that you settle because, you know, your record in lawsuits, you're like the Washington Generals against the Globetrotters. You lose almost everything. And, you know, then our passes and the rates for everything is going to go up because they're probably going to get punitive damages against you. So I would think about it because I know a winner when I see one, and you guys have been losers. You've lost a whole bunch of cases to the bus riders union. You've lost in suits that you're going to have to pay off. So I would think that you'll think this through first, because if that goes, there's going to be a lot of press. And you guys are going to look bad again, again, again. I hope you think this through, because you're going to lose.
Thank you,
so
Mr.
settle.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Klugman, and then Arnold Sachs, and then Dr. Williams.
Okay, number of things. For the West Siders, Ms. O'Connor, now that you're the mayor, there is a Bergamo station already and you're going to build a Bergamo station for the Expo Line. Why not call it the Bergamo Art Station? Because it's the home, the other Bergamo station is the home of 29 very good art galleries, plus the Santa Monica Museum of Art. So it would differentiate it from just calling it the Bergamo Station, part one. Part two, the mayor, I don't think it was a good idea to remove Richard Katz from this board. He knew Metrolink, he knew this system, and he was a very good person, and you should have kept him on the board. And Mr. Leahy, I saw you on television on C-SPAN yesterday, and Barbara Boxer called you Art. Good, that's the kind of thing you need to get money from those folks.
Arnold Sachs.
Right. Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. 2 points of order, Madam Chair. Did she call him Bergamot Art? And number two, since John Walsh has pictures of him taking over the 5 freeway, I'm almost sure that there's somewhere in the CHP official handbook or something that pedestrians are not allowed on the freeways. And if he's posting photos of him being on a freeway, then he would be in violation of the law and it should be investigated and looked into, and he should be cited for that, whether he was saying what he was. But more importantly, this is just quick. The AQMD decided on the beach pits in the fire pits in the Orange County in L.A. And one of the things they wrote about is that it says it would deny the public, it would limit the public's right to low-cost oceanfront recreation. And the reason I bring that up is because there are several lines that are eliminated on the weekend that run to the county beaches in Manhattan Beach and Detweiler Park that are eliminated. And they eliminate the ability of the public to have low-cost
recreation. Your time is up, Mr. Sachs. And I want you to know that I had great hope for you with your attire at the last meetings, and I'm sorry to see that you should read your shirt again, according to Supervisor Antonovich. Mr. Williams, please.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council. And Mr. Gassetti, thank you very much for your choices. I concur with at least 2 or 3 of them. You? I don't know. Okay. There was some mention of facts with the 710. Here's some facts. The fact sheet says there's going to be 180,000 vehicles going through the tunnel every day. 75 of those are attributed to the arterials coming into the tunnel system. Okay, where's the other 105,000 coming from? Nobody will give us the facts based upon the facts that they give to the public. We have another thing. It's called fact checks. Published by SR 710 study. No attribution as to where it came from, who it gave.
Thank you, Dr. Williams.
And it was withdrawn because it was in error. Thank you.
And we are adjourned to closed session. Thank you all for your patience.
The MTA board met in closed session and took the following reportable action. On item 58A1, Bates versus MTA, the board approved the settlement in the sum of $5.5 million. Item 58A2, Hernandez versus MTA, the board approved the settlement in the sum of $500,000. 58A3, Soto versus MTA, the board approved the settlement in the sum of $300,000. The board took no further reportable action. That concludes my announcements.